can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold.
This is my world.
Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell
everybody. Yeah, good morning, everybody. Happy Juneteenth. Juneteenth. White people may say Juneteenth. Juneteenth. I think it was the 19th, I suppose, but I guess maybe it's today. June 19th is what it's supposed to be, and that's tomorrow, so we're not on tomorrow, so we're going to celebrate it now. And what does it mean? What does it mean? I'll explain exactly what it means. It's a very special show. We're on at a different time, and I have to explain why. I'm doing things. I got projects that I'm doing. It keeps me busy to like early morning, like 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Then the show starts. If you like the show, since I'm doing a lot of projects and I come on in different times, and then I'm going on vacation to Alaska in a couple of days. All you have to do is go to Blog Talk. Is it blogtalkradio.com? blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. Hit the follow button. And when you do that, every time we come up live, you'll get a notice in your email that we're on. That's how you follow the show. blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. Hit the follow button, and you won't miss a show because, you know, one thing about this show, you never know what's going to happen. I can have a format of what we're going to talk about today, but somebody could come in and take us into another direction. You just don't know who's coming in the show. You don't know what's going on with the show. This is not a reality TV show where it's written and scripted and people do improv to make the ratings go up. And by the way, my God, thank you very much. The ratings are through the roof. The roof is on fire. Wow. The roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. Burn, motherfucker, burn. Thank you. The roof is on fire. So that's how you can follow me. And follow the new morning crew, which is spectacular. Our main subject today, white shaming, white hate. Happy Juneteenth. Now what? It took all this time, 21, to say, hey, we recognize that the slaves were free and we're having a holiday. All right. And I counted. We got two holidays. Martin Luther King. Now Juneteenth. We're going to talk about that. But we're also going to talk about something that's brewing. You can smell it in the air. Things are changing. And we're not going to look back. We're going to talk about, you know, the political pundits wants to talk about the war between the Democrats and the Republicans, which is bullshit. They're whiny little bitches, and I think they should throw them all out. And I do blame the left, even though I'm a Democrat. I do blame the left for starting racism, prejudice, and hate. I put that on the Democrats as of today. I used to watch MSNBC and CNN, CNN is okay, but when you get the black bitches on MSNBC, and it could be a subject about Donald Trump's taxes, and they would turn it into a racist thing. Any conversation, well, black people this, and it's like, stop it. You don't speak. I remember when the election was going on in MSNBC, they had, I can't stand her at all, Joy Reid on MSNBC. She'll turn it into a racial thing. Well, you're not going to win. Biden better talk to the black women, because you're not going to win without the black women vote. The black women vote this and this and this. Well, there's, shut up. And if we want to talk about racism and so sensitive, why don't we point the finger to ourselves? If we don't start pointing fingers at us, we'll never get better. We got to ask the question, are we perpetuating this racism? Are we perpetuating hate? By reminding people of a time that maybe they're not responsible for. Can we even move forward? June 10th. Now what? It's like the situation where Lincoln freed the slaves. You're free, slaves. Yay, we're free. Yeah. And then one of the slaves says, now what? What do you mean you're free? You're free to do what? We don't have jobs. We don't have homes. We don't even speak the same language. We've been slaves. This is not our country. We took it for our country. Unless you give us a boat ride back to our country and to our tribes where we belong, we're stuck here. What is freedom? What are we free to do? So a lot of slaves went back to their masters and masses and plantations. That's what they did. Not only did a lot of slaves go back there, they took their names. Jackson, Washington, Lincoln, we can go on and on and on. I said Juneteenth. Now what? Now what? What? Okay, we're going to find, yay, we're going to celebrate slavery ending. Good, positive. We move on. Or do we go, all right, we're going to remind you why we're celebrating Juneteenth, because you bastards enslaved us. Okay, you know, I get pissed off when black people own shit, negative shit, and it's in our heads, and the negative shit keeps us down. Black people tend to own shit. That's not good shit at all, not positive shit. I'll give you a reason. We have a morning cool. We have Cole that will come into the room, and he brought something to my attention, and I don't know why I'm on this page here. I think I'm going to try to get off. I hope I don't disconnect us from Blog Talk. I don't know why this is here either. I know why this is here. I don't know why this is here. Let me just do a little cleaning so I don't mess up shit. Okay, that's here. That's here. That's here. Okay. Do from this. We got two holidays. You know, Bill Maher, if you don't know who Bill Maher is, he's on HBO. He's kind of a comedian, but he's also an opinionated political guy. He's having a fight, a big riff with Kevin Hart. That's what's going on right now. And what Bill Maher said. And I kind of believe with Bill Maher. Now, Bill Maher is not a conservative guy. He's not a Trump supporter. He's not this. But he said something very interesting, and I'm kind of with him on it. Now, Kevin Hart got a little upset because he took his comments out of proportion. But if you really listen to what he said, it's very interesting, and it's true. Because our lawmakers now, if you look at our lawmakers, we got cuckoo people in the law, in the Congress and the Senate. We got people with QAnon, we got transit, we got a lot of shit that you voted for that put them in, and you, and they represent, you put them in there, so that represents part of America, that your head is in your ass, especially with QAnon people there, and you got your Jordans there, and Ted Cruz is there, and we can go on and on and on. But Bill Maher said something very interesting, and we're going to play Bill Maher in 2 seconds. I really want you to listen to Bill Maher. And I realized last week we had a very serious subject. And then I went to the video. We had a full studio. By the time the video was over, there was only two people standing. And I started thinking, what happened? Because this was a great statement about marriage and new rules in marriage. And then I started realizing that they're not coming to this show to listen to a tape. Maybe they're coming to this show to listen to my opinion. I just got it. You know, it just hit me just now. I will not run these tapes anymore for 3 or 5 minutes or 10, 15 minutes. You don't need the preaching. But I will do it for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll comment on it and that kind of thing. But I realize that maybe you're coming in the show to listen to my opinion, and who am I? And this is what I'm trying. And so Miles sent me something, and people can send me something, and you'll hear what one black woman sent me. Very mad at me, very upset at me, and I read that shit. And if you ever want to get mad at me or send a message to me, you can Facebook me. And in my Facebook, there is a DM, direct message. Something you heard on a show, you don't want to be on a show, or you can't be on a show, you can say what you want, and I will play it, or I would read it. A lot of people are at work and everything, and I know I'm on weird hours, but we get a lot of ratings on our podcast. But this is what I mean. Here we go. Here's our main topic, and I'm going to tell you about how black people own shit. Our main topic is white shaming, white hate. Happy Juneteenth. Now what? White shaming is a political tactic aimed at invalidating the opinions and experiences of people of European descent on a premise on a belief in collective guilt. It judges white folks not by the content of their character, but by the color of their skin. Sound familiar? You may not know this, and I did not know this until being around a white woman who I happened to be involved with for a number of years. And I would look at her reaction when we hear all this shit. She would turn on MSN because she likes Rachel Maddow, but then before then she has Joy Reid and other black commentators. She would listen, and then she'll get up and say, yeah, I'm a white person, and I'm bad. I should be burned in hell. This is the message she's getting. She was not joking. Yeah, white people are bad. White people are bad. White people are bad. This is the message that we are sending to white people. We are better than that. All the black men and women died, and they died in the 50s and the 60s for civil rights and equal opportunity. They were attacked by dogs, beaten by cops and sticks, and hung. Not for us to keep going back to what happened then. They did it for we could have a better life and a future. They wouldn't want us to look back. They're fighting for that cause, for we could have a better future. What do we do? What do we take from that? We keep going back to that. And we want the white people to pay. I added more to it. When we went, oh God, I know I did this in a hurry. It doesn't make sense, but I'll try to read it in a sense. When will black people stop blaming white people for shit? Just because they are white. Why do black folks own negative shit like hanging and what happened 400 years ago? Why do we own that shit? And what do I mean by owning that shit? It goes back to Miles who sent me this shit. It was about an Amazon, and I'll read it later, but it's about an Amazon, and this brought this topic up. It's about this person who had Amazon. They were working at Amazon, and they were finding nooses that were hung in the Amazon distribution center. Black people went out of their mind. You own that shit. Well, history tells us they hung white people too. They hung Indians. They hung Jews. Hanging is not an absolute for black people. They have hung many people. At one time, white people were slaves. People don't even know Moses was black. You didn't know that? Look it up. People didn't even know the Long Ranger was black. You didn't know the Long Ranger was black? Look it up. He was a black man. But white folks decided to tell on the radio that he was a white guy. He was not a white guy. You look in the Bible and you're thinking, wait, Moses is a white guy. Moses was not white. Moses was black. But, and then you folks say, well, then you want to blame shit. And this is what I'm talking about, blaming shit on everything. Well, we're going to our schools and they're not teaching black history. And they're not teaching this history. And they're not teaching this. Well, bullshit. So what? They're teaching this propaganda white history. Yes. Custer was a rapist and a butcher. Columbus was a thief and a rapist. They're not teaching you that in school, are they? You're teaching your history as propaganda of good old USA. That's what they're teaching you. But you can't complain about that shit. You're whining and you're complaining, well, they're not teaching black history. You know who's the cause of that? Your clergy. I blame your Baptist minister with his hand in your pocket and telling you what you want to hear and talking about his interpretation of Christ and what Christ wants to do. While you're at church, he should be teaching you that black history and our history and what a rich history it is, but he's not saying shit because it doesn't make him any money. He's not teaching you that Long Ranger was black. He's not teaching you Moses was black. He's not teaching you a lot of shit. Is it his responsibility? Yes, it's his responsibility. It's not white teachers' responsibility. They got a propaganda to teach. So quit blaming the school. Well, they not teach. The biggest regret that I ever have in my life, and to this day, I still regret it. I'll do it very short, not telling the story. But I got six brothers. I'm one of six brothers and one sister. And yes, in our family, growing up, we had that one militant, we want to call him a militant, but a black racist, I mean, he was a black power person, my little brother. I wasn't worried about that. I was busy trying to sing on the corner and drinking beer as a young man and trying to get tuned with the guys on the corner. But my father was afraid that we were going to get into gangs and all that. So what he did, the Mr. Genius, he moved us into an all-white neighborhood. Cool. He figured we're not going to get any trouble in an all-white neighborhood. There's no gangs or anything. Right. Well, we happened to be beat up more because we were black. Pops didn't equate that. So my brother, black power, dashiki, African, yeah, militant. So my mother, who was an educator, had explained to him, goes, you got to cool that down. He goes, why, Mama? We are black and we're proud. And those white devils and everything, we got to fight them. And my mother was an educator, and she goes, no. You get smart and hire them. Be more powerful than they are. Have the strength. And he would only eat African food and everything. And my mother had enough of that. Goes, you're going to eat chicken like everybody else. That's a racist thing. No. And you're going to have watermelon. Oh, hell no. She laid him straight, and then he goes, well, and I remember one night she served rice, white rice, and with some chicken or something. And he goes, well, at least can I have brown rice? Can I just give me that? So the regret that I have is that I knew when I went to this school that it had maybe 10 black people into this school. And this school had people riding horses and suspenders and farmers, and you get where I'm going. When they talk like, some bitch, we got one of them here. I mean, that's the school I went to. And I knew that I had to protect my family by being more powerful. I listened to my mom than they are. And what I did was I excelled in sports. My name was in the paper a lot. I was the best this. I was the best this. I got a scholarship. All my name was in the paper all the time. My father didn't see my name in the paper. He thought something was wrong, and I screwed up. I'll never forget. He goes, I'm looking at the paper. I go, yeah, Dad. Your name's not in it. Didn't you play last week? Yeah, I did. Well, how come your name's not in the paper? I go, well, I was hurt. You're hurt. Your name should be in the paper. I mean, it got to that. But by my name being in the paper, so a coach approached me. One of the football coaches approached me. He was Latino. And he said to me, and his biggest regret I ever had in my life, he said, you should start a black union in our school because they had no black history. They had no black union groups. And I looked at the coach. I said, why? He goes, because it's so important that they look up to you. And I like to hear that, that you have a lot of influence on a lot of people. If you started the black union thing in our school, people will understand and they'll be more sensitive. I said, no. He practically begged me to do it. And I said, no. He said, why? I go, coach, I'm just trying to get through school. I'm not trying to be a leader. I'm not trying to have this noise on me. And he looked at me and goes, you don't understand the responsibility of being a leader. And you have that, and you can help people. I go, let them help themselves. My biggest regret. Later, my brother started it. So proud of him. Juneteenth. Now what? What are you going to do? Are we going to rub the slavery into white people's faces? Are we going to say, yeah, we got our holiday? Okay, you got your holiday. Now what? Are we going to do the same thing like Martin Luther King Day, saying, yeah, free at last, free at last. I got my, and all we do is promote that when we should be promoting economic success, financial stability, investment opportunities. We understand where we came from, and they died for us to go further. Nobody died to say we can still, you can still live in the past. Nobody died for that. They died for us to have a better life, and we have a better life. And what are we doing now? We talk about the old life, and then we hold white people hostage, and we blame white people for that. And let me tell you something. Next time a white person, you see a white person and automatically you think that a white person is racist or they may say something and then you're going to blame them for their European heritage, but you're white, you don't understand, I'm going to school you a little bit. In Civil War, did you know that there was a lot of white people fighting to free the slaves, the Union? There was a white man who freed the slaves. I'm not going to get to point one. We're slaves in the first place. Shut up. We'll get to that later. Everybody was slaves. The Chinese were slaves. The Jews were slaves. The Indians were slaves. The Mexicans were slaves. Shut the fuck up. We're going to go further here. And you're not hearing Latinos and Jews, and you're not hearing other races talk about 400 years, and you're not hearing Jews walking around with a T-shirt saying Holocaust. They understood what happened. They moved forward. Why do we own the shit? Why do we black people tend to own shit? There is a problem happening right now, and it's a silent problem. There's a civil war. Don't think about Republicans and Democrats. No, that's not happening. What's happening is white people are under attack. White people are not free anymore. White people have to watch what they say. White people have to apologize for being white. And who's to blame of that? And black people say, well, good. No, that's not good. That's not how progress works. That is not how it works. Just because we were shamed, we want them to feel shame? No, that's not how it works. Just because maybe they're starting to feel saying, wow. And maybe they got woke, and maybe they said, okay. And the Floyd thing, you're saying, what about George Floyd, blah, blah, blah. White people marched in that rally. And you know what they marched for? They didn't march because he was a black man. They didn't march because he was a former slave. Maybe his parents were former slaves. They marched because of justice and injustice. And they marched with us. And they marched with Martin Luther. And they marched with us in Selma. They were there. They fought in the Civil War for us. Some white people did. And let me tell you, some niggas were on the other side and fighting against slavery. You're not saying shit about them. And when you talk about reparation, you know what I'm talking about. I'm getting tired. When you talk about that, who are you going to give it to? All black people? No, there was a lot of free black people, man. And when you do talk about white people, maybe their heritage or maybe their great-great-grandfather fought with the Union soldiers against slavery. Because you're looking at them as white, you're thinking automatically, well, your ancestors slaved us. Not all white people did that. In fact, they fought against that. But you don't see that. You just see white. And you're not blaming the niggas who are on the other side killing white folks who are helping to free us. Where is that? Why do you own slavery? Because you should not own slavery. Jews were slaves. We go back to the Egyptians' days where white people were slaves, Indians were slaves, Mexicans are slaves. We still got them. We call them, what do we call them? Well, immigrants, but again, we don't pay them as much and everything, work long hours. We can go on and on and on. So why do we own that shit? And why do we own hanging? Well, we got hung. Yeah, and so did Jews. And so did white people. And so did Mexican people. And so did women. But none of them own that shit. And as soon as you see a noose, you lose your fucking mind. And you own the shit. Why do you own the word nigger? There was no such thing. When we came from Africa, nobody was nigger. Richard Pryor said a joke about he used to talk about nigger, 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 until he went to Africa. And one guy, and an African said to him, why do you use the word nigger? He goes, I just say that to express myself for black people. And the African said to Richard Pryor, look around you. You're in Africa. Do you see any niggers here? He goes, no, I don't. That's right. So why do we own that shit? Why do we own welfare when we only make up 19%? And many more white people, three times more white people are on welfare than black people. Why do we own all this negative bullshit? This is not what our ancestors got hung for or fought for or ran away from the plantation for or Martin Luther King marched for, so we can remember and own that shit. So when you start white shaming, you're no better than that bullshit that they did to us. And you know how that felt. And when you start coming up and you think it's cute naming white people Karens and Todds because they see black people and they want to do it and you're mocking them and everything, you think that's going to move you forward? You think that's going to have, you want to be equal? Being equal is being financially sound, being able to invest in your country, being able to support yourself. The laws are the laws. And then you're going to say, well, those cops hate black people. They're black cops too. Shut the fuck up. Well, they're profiling. Guess what? We profile all the time. We profile girls with nice tits, nice ass, ugly girls we don't pay attention to. We profile everything. That's who we are. We look at people. We sum them up. Is it fair? No, it's not fair. But we have come a long ways, baby. We got a lot of power. And we get, my main argument with white, with black folks is when they talk about Obama. And I'll end it with this. When you come in here and you say how bad Obama was and his economic structure and everything, I want to just wring your fucking goddamn throat. Symbols are very important. Our American flag is a symbol. Everything is a symbol. Amazon, whatever. That is important. It doesn't matter what policy Obama had. Just the fact that you saw a change of color white people voted for him too, not just black people. You saw that the world was changing, that even white folks are saying, you know what, it's time to give him a shot. They didn't see him as a nigga. They didn't see him as half white. And the really racist people will tell you a joke. Well, I just voted for the white part of him. The fact of the matter is, President of the United States of America, most powerful man in the world, and the image was so important to see a black woman as the first lady of the country of the United States of America and a black man. The image was important. His policies, nobody's going to remember his policies, and who give a fuck about his policies, is that we have come to a time in our lives that we can have an image of America's changing and hope. And that image was powerful and will always be. You're not going to really hear about his policies 10, 15 years from now. But that your great-great-grandchild is going to say, we had a first black president, and you should say we sure did, because a lot of our people suffer from that. But the other ignorant black people are going to say, yeah, but I don't like his policy. I voted for who was running against him, whoever, the white dude. And your great-grandchild is going to go, what? We had a chance to make a first black president, and you're not voting for him because of his policies? What the fuck? It wasn't his policies, people. And by the way, white people hate policies. It could be white people. Biden's in the office, and white people say the same thing. His policies, policies. Don't be distracted. Just the image was enough. to have that little black kid to say, I don't have to play basketball because I'm 5'2". That I can be a senator. I can be a president. You got black girls that say, guess what? I could be a princess. Because we got Merkel, who is a princess. So those little fairy tales come true. Whether she went through all that bullshit, whatever, who gives a fuck? The image is that black little black girls can now dream of being a princess. And Merkel came from, if I'm saying her name right, she came from Compton, baby. Straight out of Compton. So she wasn't a privileged white black person. She was from the hood. And a prince came to the hood and got his princess. That's the image. The legacy, the legends are always more above the actual person. And we got to keep that alive, and we keep the positive, especially the Long Ranger. I'm going to go into other stuff, but there's some people in the room that want to say anything. But I'm just saying, black people, stop it. Stop shaming white people. Stop making them feel guilty for shit they didn't do. You don't know them. Quit calling them names like Karens and bullshit. You got white people who can't even have a conversation in public if they see a black guy 10 yards from now because they're afraid they're going to say something, and then you're going to come after them and say, you're racist, and they don't want to, I'm not racist, and they find themselves defending themselves, or they feel this guilt that they shouldn't feel guilt about because there's nothing they did. Maybe they had white ancestors fighting for the Union side. You're not thinking that bullshit. But you just want to blame shit, man. You want to blame people for what you could not do or what you failed to do. You want to blame white people because you are on welfare because the man's not giving you a job. Well, you could get your own job. You want to blame white people for everything. And it's not them who's keeping you oppressed. It's maybe your motherfucking self is keeping you oppressed. But you're too ashamed to say that you're a failure and a loser, so you want to blame white people for every fucking thing. White people have been shot by the police. White people have been harassed by the police, too. There is no such thing as white privilege because the law is the law. Now, if you want to say white privilege, I'll give you privilege. If I was a cop, I saw some white girl with her titties out and no panties and she's opening her legs, I'm not giving her a ticket. Now, I seen some ugly woman, and I'm not saying ugly white woman with freckles and overweight and obesity. I'm giving her a ticket. Not only am I giving her a ticket, I'm going to ask the judge to put her away from life. I see the same thing. Our beautiful black women, if I see them walking around and I see them this, and I said, oh, you know, baby, you should not be walking around like this, or you went across the thing, I'm not giving them a ticket. Now, I see some other bitch walking around with a tattoo and everything, and she has an attitude, and I wear you at and everything, and uneducated, guess what? I'm not only giving her a ticket, I'm calling the rest of the police force so we can follow her ass home. Fuck the profiling, because we all profile. Quit using that as an excuse and quit owning that shit. We own negative shit. That's the story. If you don't, you have something to say? I'm going to open up the phones right now because I got some things I want to play. But if you have something to say, say it. 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. You're more than welcome to come in and yell at me. Tell me what you need, what's on your mind. And I'm more than happy to put your ass the right way. Let's open up the phones because we still got some more shit. And, well, I'm going to open the phones 1 minute. I see my guys. Guys, give me one more minute. So like I said before, I got a message from a black woman. She listened to the show. I could play the theme. And she reamed me out for being black. Joe, welcome to the show. How you doing, Joe? Good to hear your voice.
What you talking about?
You know damn well what I'm talking about.
You wrong.
You know damn well what I'm talking about. Don't you use your white ignorance on me, boy. You're using your white ignorance on me, boy. Don't you?
Okay. I said, Dalvin Hawkins, what you talking about? You don't know my brother. You know what? You're touching on two issues, which are two pet peeves of mine, especially on Blog Talk Radio. The first one is, you know, 87% of the shows on Blog Talk Radio are black. Jesus, you go on this show, they're always talking, well, let's say most of them, but most of them are always talking about Charlie is keeping me down. if I weren't for the white man, I'd be a nuclear physicist. You know what I'm saying? And then the other pet peeve I got is that you got the white racist on Blog Talk Radio, and they're always talking about how black people are taking over the jobs and taking over America. So you got two fucking bunches of fucking idiots complaining about the other side. And that's what I hear all the fucking time. So, Jesus fucking Jesus. There's enough blame to be put on the whites, because Africa is not trying to control the world. Europeans and white people have controlled the world. So that's true. But there's a thing. It's been goddamn many, many years since 1964, the Civil Rights Act. And I do have to say, when are blacks going to say, it's been at least, well, I can't say it. Okay, 1964, I give two generations for Jim Crow to wear itself out in America, or to at least seriously become ameliorated. 40 years. That means 2005. That's two generations. Now, from 2005 to now, to 2021, that's 16 years. That's another generation. When are blacks going to say, you know, if I just make sure that my kids study, get good marks, they'll be prepared for the outside world. Yes, racism does exist, but they can overcome it. When are they going to do that? And when are white people going to say, you know, shit, black people are inferior, but damn, they're taking over America, you know? I like to. Yeah, I don't think it'll ever come to that on either side. What do you think?
I come on the air when I have something to say, but you know what? You go with Bill. What I'm going to run? Did you hear the Bill Maher tape about what he was talking about? Well, here's the headline, and I'll let you in, Cole. Hold on. The headline was: Bill Maher claims murder of George Floyd was not backed up by his fellow officers in a rant slaving liberals. But did you, that he was talking about the progressions that black people are saying we haven't progressed? And did you hear that tape, Joe? It's very interesting.
I haven't heard it. I heard about it. I haven't heard it. Okay.
You should really hear it. And I know, try to fight going to sleep, because it's really important. I'm going to play this, and I agree with him. Right now he's having a fight with Kevin Hart, but I do agree with you. Black people, black folks have to realize history is history, but we can move from that and develop a future. Nothing's stopping us. But what's happening here, and I feel it because I'm with a white woman, I feel the guilt. And the guilt is not so much guilt, it's anger now. We are heading towards, and it's a silent anger.
Yeah.
and white people are not going to express that anger. And we're talking about, I'm not going to use the word good white people. We're talking about people who are not race, you know, and a separatist and prejudiced thing. We're just talking about the average person is saying, you are attacking my child. You are attacking this. It's like the Black Lives Matter. When they said something like, well, we're going to defund the police. Now, why? It's like, why do you shoot yourself in the fucking head? You had this great movement. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of white people with you in this movement. And now you come up with some stupid shit about defunding the police. And then white people go, well, I was with you before. I'm going to pull back. Let's pull back, white folks. We're not defunding no police. You know what I mean? Why did you go further like that, you know? And I said, you're going to lose people with that. Even Biden, when he did the debate, when there were all the other Democrats on there, if you remember the stage of nine, maybe, and they asked him the question, what about defunding the police? All of them said, yeah, I think we should, because they wanted to win your vote. Biden was the only one that says, no, we're not going to defund the police. And it was a stupid title anyway, defunding the police. And it's a stupid concept like, well, if there's an argument at your home, we're not going to send a policeman. We're going to send a counselor. How's that work? All right, counselor at the door, ma'am, let me in. That seemed to be a problem. Oh, I see. There's a knife on her forehead. Let's talk about this. You know what I mean? You know? Let's bring in the other counselors. They have a SWAT counselors. Let's de-escalate your anger, sir. Why did you put a knife in that woman's forehead? You know, I'll kill the motherfucking bitch. Okay, you might have issues. Let's talk about this. Come on! And that's when white people started to go away again. You know? It's stupid shit. And it's racist shit. White people saying, I was with you, and then you want to defund the police. Okay. And then you want to start talking about how white people get away and white privilege, and then you start calling white people Karens. You know what? I didn't sign up for this because I have children of my own.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
Calling people Karen, by calling people Karen, Todd, doesn't bother me. Even if the critical race theory was geared towards a certain objective, even that would not bother me. If they were going to really just say, you know, Europeans, wake up, look at your black students, look at the world around you, and realize that, you know, they, the blacks, are not, you know, what your ancestors try to make them out to be. Try to be more sensitive, okay?
Oh.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. But
really?
They're trying to make white people feel so goddamn guilty. For what?
I'm kidding. I know. There are white people running around right now feeling guilty about, oh, my God, what we did to them. Oh, let's go make a bean pie and leave it at the Johnson's door. For what? White people don't owe us shit. We tried it with the 40 acres and a mule. All we got was the ass. We didn't get no acres.
Mm-hmm.
We got kicked in the ass. We got a mule that got kicked in the ass. That's what we got. White people, black people have to understand that white people don't owe us shit. And they never gave us shit. Well, they have. They gave us the opportunity to bus. And then there's some black people saying, busing was the worst thing and everything. No, motherfucker, it wasn't. Busing gave black kids a chance to get the education they did because of the poverty and the level of the education they were getting from the schools, from the black schools, were not properly federally funded. They didn't have the access to a lot of things. They had, back then, I'm not going to say computers, but to this day, you can say some of the kids, some of the schools and the hoods don't even have the proper computers and blah, 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 blah. But it gave black people a chance to get the education that white people were getting. I don't agree how it was, but you'd rather be in a community that you had the poverty level that the school was not really functioning as well as giving your kid the proper education. We can go on and on and on. Here we go. We got Cole in the studio, and then we're going to go to Bill Maher, and then a black woman got really mad at me and called me names that I shouldn't be called. Miles, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, I'm on the train, so bear with
okay,
the noise.
But black people tend to own negative shit, and why? Okay, I understand you're on a train, buddy. You can talk when you can, if you can. We'll listen to you.
Hey, I don't care about anybody. I'm just hearing the noise in the background. That was funny as hell. I'm gonna make him a bean pie and leave it on the door, the Johnson's doorstep.
Just welcome to Johnson's. Yeah. Instead of the apple pie, just make him a bean pie.
Right. I agree with what you guys are saying, 100%. It's just like, you know, it's like reparations, right? Look, I kind of believe in reparations if you're, if you were in your 20s or 30s in the 60s, cool. There should be some if you're in your 70s, you know, if you felt, you know, racism like that, but For people that are under 40 to be talking about reparations is just the same people who collect the welfare. Sorry, like you said, it is 3-1, black on white and welfare. We're trying to make sure it size the people up on the train so I don't have to fight on this train right now.
It's okay. We understand.
But, I'd like to hear that Bill Maher, by the way.
I'm going to play it right now. Joe, stay awake because we got to – I'm going to play it right now, but I did. Then after that, this black woman read my mother black ass out. saying that I was an Uncle Tom, I'm not black, all this stuff. We'll hear that after I play to Bill Maher, because I have. Here's
hey,
Bill
before
Maher.
You play
you
it.
Yeah.
Oh, but, all right. Before no, you play,
ahead,
I just want to say that 98% of the people that I hear complaining about white people, you know, the blacks who are complaining about whites.
Right.
98% of them, if not 99% of them, have never accomplished a fucking thing in their lives.
I agree with you.
And they blame white people for that. And, you know, okay, that's all I wanted to say.
I agree. That's what I was saying. We should stop blaming white people for our own failures.
There you go.
And,
hey Joe, it's good to hear you. It's good to have this trio on the radio together.
Yeah, how you doing, Cole?
I'm doing good. All right, there's some things I agree with Bill Maher, and some things I don't. I think he's kind of a, I think he's actually a Republican disguised in Democrats' clothes. He kind of plays both sides of the fiddle to make himself popular. So, I mean, anybody that sticks their penis into Ann Coulter's mouth is a piece of shit. Let's make that clear. Anyway, I'm going to mute myself.
Okay.
Cole's on a dangerous... Cole's doing the dangerous thing. He's on the New York City subway. From what I understand, that fucking subway is, you know... You better carry around a gun.
I got a little blade in my pocket. And, when I come into the subway, I pretend I'm in Vietnam. I've just entered Vietnam. When I go down underground, I'm in Vietnam now. So I'm very aware of my surroundings.
Yeah,
I'm very aware that I have to fight or rescue somebody.
I hear you.
I mean, crime is up 22% in the month of May. One month for the whole year.
I'm surprised it's that
pushing,
low.
You know.
Surprised it's that low. People, we'll talk about
say,
the psychological damage of locking
it's only,
down for a year. The psychological damage.
It's only,
yeah.
It's only going to go up. And look at Texas. Starting September 1st, there's no license and no training for firearms. So watch the homicide rate in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma skyrocket five times what it has been. That's ridiculous.
I'm on the side that guns don't kill people. People do. So, you know, guns has been out there and everything. And I hear you, Cole. And then I hear the the whiny left, guns and this, and they're killing people. No, the guns are not killing people. Last time I went to a store in Walmart, there were some guns there, and guns didn't say, hey, Brian, I go, what gun? Hey, you want to buy me? No, I don't want to buy you a gun. Hey, buy me, because I could kill people. You kill people? Yeah. And then another gun is saying, hey, I'm an AK-47. Nice to meet you. I'm on sale. No, guns don't kill people. People kill people, and you're not going to stop that. You're not going to stop it.
I agree. The one thing I'll chime in real quick before these people want to throw me off the train is I really don't believe in open carry because, you know, you're showing the bad guys that you have your gun out. And you can get your gun right out of your holster just as quick as someone dangling it off the hip of their cock. So it's like when you have an open carry state and people have their guns out, you're automatically saying, okay, there's the guy that has the gun. You're alerting bad people.
I don't know. I'm more safe with open carry. Open carry folks are a lot more safer than the guy who's hiding a gun under his bed and shooting at the squirrels for the neighbor.
Joe,
I kind of think. Yeah, go ahead.
Joe, do you think I make a point with that? That when you have open carry, you kind of alert everybody else?
Yeah, I do, but I also believe that if you're a bad guy and you see somebody with the gun, that's not the guy you're going to fuck with unless you go behind him and blow his head off. And I don't think, if you had, let's say you had a gun hanging on your side, you're not going to let somebody behind you. So I'd rather, I'm for open carry and for concealed carry. I see your point is that, you know, the bad guy, he's not going to do anything if that's your point. And I say, good.
No, but my point is that when the bad guy or the guy that wants to use his weapon is walking around, First of all, I'm like a cat. I can sneak up behind anybody. You can always be taken by surprise just because you're walking around with your 45 or whatever you have. My point is that the people that are going to use it and the bad people are advertising to other people with guns that are concealed or whether they have permits or not, that you give them the upper hand. They know the situation. Oh, okay, I got two guys there. You know, I got to get another guy with a gun and, you know, sneak up and surprise him. Because you can't, just because it's out, you can't pull it that much quicker. Understand? Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, I hear that too. Yeah. There's pros and cons to it. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, Bill Maher.
All right. Okay. Here we go. This is Bill Maher, but you should really listen to it. I'm going to mute everybody. Joe, I'm doing new things now because I have been enlightening.
Okay.
So when I play stuff or somebody has something important to say, I would mute the other people. Then I would unmute everybody for a response. That way we don't hear a lot of background noise or anything like that. You know what I mean? So you can hear so the conversation can flow.
Sure.
So I'm going to mute everybody. Bill Maher, everybody. Just kind of listen. Give him some minute because I believe what he's saying. Here we go, Cole. He may change your mind. Muting you, muting Joe, Bill Maher is playing now. Here we go.
His stories that seem to be off topic. Everyone must realize he usually does have a And finally, new rule. From now on, when Joe Biden veers off into one of his long-winded stories that seem to be off topic, everyone must realize he usually does have a point.
But those of you who are over 50, how often did you ever see advertisements on television with black and white couples? Not a joke. I challenge you, find today, when you turn on the stations, sit on one station for 2 hours, and I don't know how many commercials you'll see, lay 8 to 5. 2 to 3 out of 5 have mixed race couples in them.
I'm going to tell you, I know it sounds kind of out of left field, but actually Uncle Joe is pointing liberals towards something they need to be more aware of. They have a bad case of progressive phobia. That's the phrase coined by Steven Pinker to describe a brain disorder that strikes liberals and makes them incapable of recognizing progress. It's like situational blindness, only what you can't see is that your dorm in 2021 is better than the South before the Civil War. If you think America is more racist now than ever, more sexist than before women could vote, and more homophobic than when blowjobs were a felony, you have progressophobia and should adjust your mask because it's covering your eyes. You know, before 2012, every time gay marriage was put before a state's voters, it lost, 35 times in a row. Now it's the law of the land in every state. Even half of Republicans are for it. The other half are for closeted gay sex. The chant from gay protesters used to be, "We're here, we're queer, get used to it." Well, we did. This is Pride Month, and it's not even a big deal anymore. 30 days of parades and festivals celebrating a cause that was once so divisive, Ellen had to pretend to be straight. State houses fly pride flags now. Disney celebrates it. By federal law, every single TV show must include a storyline about lesbians having a baby. If someone announces they're gay on TV, it's met with thunderous applause. My accountant says, "Yas Queen." You literally can't find a major American corporation that doesn't do something for Pride Month. NASCAR does it. Raytheon, maker of high-tech lethal weaponry that kills people from the sky, does it. And I hear next year they're going to paint "You Go Girl" on the side of their missile. And it's not just LGBT issues. Not that long ago, I knew people who went to prison for growing pot. And today you can legally smoke it for fun in 43% of the country, and I will. Even something like bullying, it still happens. But being outwardly cruel to people who are different is no longer acceptable. That's progress. And acknowledging progress isn't saying we're done or we don't need more. And being gloomier doesn't make you a better person. In 1958, only 4% of Americans approved of interracial marriage. Now, Gallup doesn't even bother asking. The last time they did, in 2013, 87% approved. An overwhelming majority of Americans now say they want to live in a multiracial neighborhood. That is a sea change from when I was a kid. In a country that's 14% black, 18% of the incoming class of Harvard is black, and since 2017, white students are not even a majority in our public colleges. Employees of color make up 47% of Microsoft, 50% of Target, 55% of the Gap, as companies become desperate to look like their TV commercials. The Friends reunion we just had looked weird, because if you even suggested a show today about six people, all of whom were straight and white, the network would laugh you out of the room and then cancel you on Twitter. And yet there is a recurrent theme on the far left that things have never been worse. Kevin Hart expressed a view many hold when he told the New York Times, "You're witnessing white power and white privilege at an all-time high." This is one of the big problems with wokeness, that what you say doesn't have to make sense or jibe with the facts or ever be challenged, lest the challenge itself be conflated with racism. But saying white power and privilege is at an all-time high is just ridiculous. Higher than a century ago, the year of the Tulsa race massacre? Higher than the years when the KKK rode unchecked and Jim Crow went unchallenged? Higher than the 1960s when the Supremes and Willie Mays still couldn't stay in the same hotel as the white people they were working with? Higher than during slavery? And I mean actual slavery, not Prince doesn't like his record contract slavery. Racism is still, unfortunately, still with us. We have the footage. In policing, housing, job discrimination, segregated schools, wealth inequality, the legacy of injustice sadly lives on and demands remedial action. I understand, as best I can, how racism singes a person's soul so much that they might see it everywhere. But seeing clearly is necessary for actually fixing problems, and clearly, racism is simply no longer everywhere. It's not in my home, and it probably isn't in yours, if I read my audience right, and I think I do. For most of the country, the most unhip thing you could ever be today is a racist. Even Derek Chauvin was not backed up by his fellow officers, and that never used to happen. The low point of race relations wasn't Kim Kardashian wearing cornrows, even though it happened on Snapchat and George Wallace standing in a doorway didn't. Because here's the thing, kids. There actually was a world before you got here. We date human events, AD and BC, but we need a third marker for millennials and Gen Z. BY, before you. It's telling that in a recent Harvard youth poll of Americans between 18 and 29, 72% of blacks said they were hopeful about the future of America, as compared to only 46% of whites. I'm not surprised. There are a hell of a lot of Americans trying really hard these days to embrace a new spirit of inclusion and self-reflection, and this progressive allergy to acknowledging societal advances is self-defeating, because progress and hope that we can achieve it is the product we're selling. And having a warped view of reality leads to policies that are warped. Black only dorms and graduation ceremonies, a growing belief in whiteness as a malady and white people as irredeemable, giving up on a colorblind society. Only if you believe we've made no progress does any of that make sense. I can name some things that actually are worse than they've ever been before, like the environment and homelessness in L.A. and the prospects for maintaining an actual democracy in America. But where progress has been made, it's not a sin, and it's certainly not inaccurate to say we've come a long way, baby. Not mission accomplished, just a long way.
And I happen to agree with that. Okay, let me get back into this. Okay, call the party on the train. Joe, I'm hoping you stayed awake to hear that, and I would love to hear your point of view, what Bill Maher just said.
Oh, I didn't hear a thing. I was asleep.
Okay.
I'm only teasing. I loved
right.
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did too.
I thought he was spot on. He is saying that there is progress, there is more to be made. But people who say they want to live in a multicultural, diverse neighborhood, I think that poll was probably false. I don't think there are a lot of people who want to do that.
I don't know. You got to realize that the millennials are now 40, and how they were brought up as children are... It's not an individual state of mind anymore. It's all for one, one for all, and we will champion any cause we can to make a world a better place. So I don't know. Millennial now.
I agree with
homes.
You on that.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. But 72% of the people in the survey, I think the number was 72%. 72% said they want to live. That means that the poll, let's say if you had 100 people
sure.
who were taking the poll,
right,
the percentage of millennials would have to be around 80%. I don't know
right.
if that would be – if that's the case,
that's
then the
point.
Poll is very skewed. Okay. I still believe, okay, knowing people as I do.
Right.
And I can go where you know, you can't. And hearing, people with no melanin talk, no.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The debate would be, Joe. Go ahead. I didn't mean to step on you, but go ahead. You got a good point there.
Immigrants especially don't want it. White people, not as many as immigrants, but white people. Everybody wants to stay with their own. And this idea of multi-inclusive diversity, I don't see it, okay? But I may be wrong. Maybe the poll was taken accurately, but I don't see it.
No, the polls, first of all, we got to – I hate the word woke for – I can't stand that word, and I wish that word never existed. I hate that word.
Mm-hmm.
We're woke. Shut up. And the cancel culture bullshit. I hate that word, too, but – we are now getting a lot more – see, we're not filtering in the biracial couple. And biracial, you will be surprised how many people who are biracial now that – I mean, I don't know the percentage of the biracial people, but there's a lot more. Yeah, and if you filter that in, you filter the LGBT community in, which is multi-ethnic formed.
Right.
I would have to say, Joe, I don't know. But all polls are skewed, and we all know that. Whatever poll you're going to take, it's whoever taking the poll is going to be biased.
It's probably going to have a bias. Was the number 72%? What was the number on that? Do you remember?
I think he said 72%. I'll go with it. I think he said 72.
Okay. All right.
But I'm just thinking.
Oh, hey,
can
you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you now.
You can. You know, the last time I was on your show, I got off the air, then I called back in, then I heard nothing.
Right.
Did something happen to your show?
People were saying that, too, that they can't get in. Blog Talk was acting up. They were just acting up, and I have no control over that. Okay. Yeah, a lot of people were saying the same thing. And they hate me here. I'm blocked. I take it personally. It's probably not personal, but I take it personally.
Oh, all right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was a guy.
Yeah.
I was a guy that says, I used to call them. I did it one time live, it was years ago, when I make these live calls. And I reamed the girl out, and she goes, wait a minute, let me look up your account. You're with us. Yeah, I am. So it was funny. It was funny, but, you know. But I'm just saying that there is this people, seriously, black people, I'm black. And you're going to say, and this woman reamed me out. I can't believe it. She called me every name in the world.
Oh, what
because
she
of
said?
Oh, my God. I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm trying to pull it up. But I could paraphrase it because it was really powerful. You know, Joe, if she says I have to play the – you know I have to play the theme. It's part of the show. You know what I mean? I know you don't want to hear. It just lets people know that it's from a listener. Her name is Aisha.
Okay.
But I think I'm not black enough to pronounce her name right. And she mentioned that too.
All right. Oh, she really did get on you, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. She went off on my black ass. She was listening to the show. And I forgot. I think it was a show that you couldn't get back in. We had a brother talking about our black soldiers and things like this, and she didn't really like my response about, you know, we got to go further than that. So here it is. I'm going to paraphrase her letter because I don't
know. Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Ding. Now, what it is that I have to tell people, Joe's tired of hearing it, but if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you'll be able to DM me, and then you hear the show, whatever, you can say whatever you like. And if it's bad enough, just bad stuff, I will play it on the air. Good stuff, I'm not going to play because I think you're blowing smoke up my ass. But bad stuff, I will play. And what we do is usually, I know you're on Facebook and you're doing this, my listeners are on Facebook, so we try to keep your name anonymous so that that way you don't get attacked and you're free to say what you want to say. So I will keep Aisha anonymous for this segment. Thank you. What's up, Hammer?
Did you use her real name?
Yes, I did. Payback's a bitch.
Glad you kept the name anonymous.
We kept it anonymous. We kept it anonymous.
All right.
We don't want to do that. What's that, Hammer? H-A-M-M-A. Okay. I heard your show the other day. I did not like it. I looked at your picture, and you look like a black man, but I don't believe you're black. You got some white in you. Okay. I don't really think you're a black man because if you're a black man, you would not be saying against all the black people. It sounds like you're against black people, and you sound like you're an Uncle Tom. And you don't look all that good, and you're not all that either. Okay. So you should watch what you say because black folks don't like what you're saying, and it sounds like you're a racist motherfucker. Okay. So won't you just find out where you came from and remember where you came from because you're trying to be white, and you being white, white people are not going to accept you. So you're like one of those Uncle Toms who's trying to be white, but you're black so you can kiss white people's asses. Okay. I like how she ended it, though. I swear to God, I'm not lying. Yours truly, Aisha. Yours true. Oh, and I know you can't pronounce my name because only black people pronounce my name. So you're going to mispronounce my name because you ain't black enough. Yours truly, Aisha. Oh. Okay. This is not the first time that I had this problem. I mean, back in the day when I first started the show, I would have these issues or these controversy or these talks, whatever you want to say. And it used to be a morning crew, and I used to go off on black folks. And he used to shout out, Brian, let him know you're black. Let him know you're black. I go, why do I have to let him know black? Well, you got to let him know you're black because you're talking bad about black folks. I said, I'm not talking bad about black. But you got. He was so adamant to let people know that I was black,
yeah,
that if I was a white person saying what I was saying, well, then holy hell would have broke out. And then that's the problem we have today. Because white people should be able to say shit without being criminalized for it, without being called a racist. You walk around. I go with my brother, the militant. We moved to a place called Ventura, and my dad says we have to fit in. I go, Dad, how can we fit in? We're black. Fit in, boy. I don't know what to do to fit in. I rebelled. I have never got a whipping in so long in my life that I said, okay, you wanted me to fit in? I'll fit in. I walked down the beach. It was a beach, and hardly any black folks live on a beach. We lived on the beach. My father worked for the federal government, so we lived on the beach. Nothing but white people, surfers and everything. He comes home early. I misjudged him. And he sees his son walking down the street with a black power t-shirt with a black fist up. He couldn't snatch me off the street faster than a cop. You know? He couldn't. I don't think he even stopped the car. I think he actually reached through the window, grabbed me by my shirt collar, and drove home while my feet still running down the street. I think that's what really happened. Because he was so offended. And he says, white people are going to think you're a militant. What are you doing? We need to fit in. I said, I can say black power, right? Black power is us having the power of economic. No, boy. It's going to be a race riot, and you're going to cause it. Okay. So that brings me to this. Why can't white people say white power? I mean, we got black power. We got this. We got the black fist. How come white, and if you see a white person running down the street with white power, it doesn't mean they're a white supremacist, but we will equate them with that. If we can have black power, why can't they have white power? And then, you know, I'll get some people in the studio going, well, white people always had the power. I don't care. Why can't they be able to express that white power, they left their whiteness or their white roots or their southern roots or whatever? Why is that so offensive to us? And why do we have to shame them, hang them, kill them for them expressing who they are, but yet we can walk down the street with black power? In order to progress and in order to be equal, and if you're trying to be equal, why are you being so divisive? You can't have both. You cannot be divisive and be equal. Pick a lane. If the guy's walking down with a white power t-shirt or a white this or a flag or the southern flag because he still loves the Confederate, let him wave that flag proud. And we'll wave our flag proud. We'll wave the African flag. We'll wave the black flag. We'll wave any kind of flag we want to. Well, why can't he wave that Confederate flag without us owning the shit? And meaning owning the shit, it's like that flag represents racism and separatism and this and this and this. Maybe his great-great-grandpappy fought in the war. They didn't win. But maybe he's proud of his southern roots. It doesn't mean that he hates all black people. It doesn't mean that he wants to enslave you, which we can't be enslaved. Why can't that motherfucker walk down with a Confederate flag? And if you want to be equal, this is the journey. This is the journey. Because with power comes responsibility, and more of us getting power and holding top levels of government, power comes with that, and we have to understand that he should be able to do it. Power comes with responsibility, and if we're holding more and more power, we cannot be more and more divisive. I'm not saying you can accept it, but I'm saying look away. Because he has every right, and you want to go with diplomacy or democracy and everything. If you believe you're a Democrat, you believe in democracy, yay, USA, go, go, go. We believe in democracy. Well, democracy is that guy has the right to worship. And like anything he wants to do. Because when you see a motherfucker with a Confederate flag and you have nothing but hate, you are no better than them. And chances are he's probably better than you because he's not saying that he wants to enslave you. He is just saying this part of the South and part of my heritage. But you're criminalizing this guy for doing that. What does that make you? Does it make you better? It makes you a racist. It makes you a hateful person. Because in a democracy, we're allowed to express ourselves without being criminalized. And if you're going to criminalize somebody, then you're not part of the USA. Joe, reply, please. Your thoughts.
No, I'm going to disagree with you on some points.
Good.
I've never known anybody who's shown the Confederate flag who wasn't a racist, either covertly or overtly. Again, I can go where you can't. I know what they say. And, yeah, it's a possibility that they wanted to commemorate the Confederacy and how their grandpa, great-grandpa fought in the war and, you know, their ancestors' legacy, if not their family history. But overall, I would, if not to say all, I haven't spoken to all, don't know all, but I would conservatively guess 90% of them who do actually take the time to start waving around a Confederate flag is probably a racist. I agree with you in that if blacks see it, if they want to get upset, can't blame them, but they should walk away. They shouldn't start trying to make a big deal out of it. I don't believe there's systemic racism in America. I do believe that the day-to-day racism exists. You can go on Black Talk Radio. There are two shows that will whimsically, capriciously say the N-word anytime they feel like it. And they're all for white nationalism. But if you're for white nationalism, if you're for any kind of nationalism, if you're for German nationalism, French nationalism, you do not put down another bunch of people. You try to raise yourself up to say, we're proud of our particular heritage, just like they should be proud of their heritage. You don't try to put down somebody else. You don't try to, the Germans shouldn't put down the French shouldn't put down the Germans, etc. But that is what people do. So, but there are, you know, white people who do just want to say, you know what, I'm white, I'm proud of it, I have nothing against you, keep the fuck out of my business, I'll keep the fuck out of your business, and I'm all for that, you know, leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. But there are people who are, just like there are black people who are racist. And who want to use slavery. I don't think slavery is a damn good argument anymore for the outrage that black people have. I think maybe some vestiges of Jim Crow, maybe. But again, it's been minimum 1 to 2 generations past, back, actually 4 generations past the Civil Rights Act. Sorry, let me see, 60 years, 20, 40, 3 generations. And people do have to get up on their own feet and stop blaming other people when the other people are not to blame. So, well, that's my response.
It's a good response. And you are correct. But you got to remember, there were black people. What do you say to that black family that their great-great-great-grandfather fought in the Civil War, but he was on the Confederate side. And he died. Shouldn't they be able to say that I'm proud that he fought for... And people, and Joe, I want to explain, I'm going to finish this, but you explain it a lot better than I do. What the Civil War was really about. There's a lot of ignorant people think the Civil War was about slavery. It wasn't about slavery.
It was about economics. You said that. You're right.
And we do have to educate and find out what's going on. Lincoln was not too happy to free the slaves. He had a lot of doubts, and he went under a lot of political
right.
pressure about, you know, because
right.
Lincoln says we should, and his cabinet going, what? Kennedy was not too happy to go and champion Martin Luther King, but we can go into that another thing. But slavery was, so what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of black people who fought on the Confederate side. What about those people that they were proud that they're trying to keep the South and they fought for what they fought for? And remember, when Lincoln did free the slaves, a lot of slaves went back to the plantation and took their names. So what do you say to them, Joe, when you see a Confederate flag flying and maybe a black person is sitting on a porch and that Confederate flag is right next to him flying in the breeze? What do you say?
Well, if I see that, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to think that for what you've said, I didn't know that a lot of black people fought on the side of the Confederacy. If a black person has that Confederate flag and he is actually, you know, expressing his family legacy, and then I would say, oh, okay, I don't know why blacks would do it on the side of the Confederacy, but fine, you know. I would just say, I don't know. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. I would be curious about it, but that's all I would do.
But would you call him a black racist? Would you call him, flying that Confederate flag, you must be a racist? And that's my point. Mm-hmm. I mean, we go as far as trying to see this stupid woke culture and this leftist thing that we're going to take things down because they offend us or they remind us of the history. And they remind, it's just a cement guy on a horse. Well, that reminds me of a war that they have never known. And it's about slavery 400 years ago. How old are you? I'm 20. You didn't even fight in that war. Your mother didn't. And you don't even know if your great-grandpappy fought on the other side. Shut up.
Yeah.
You don't like
you
our
know
history,
what?
But you're...
You know another thing?
Yeah.
You know another thing which kind of... It kind of irks me but makes me smile at the same time is when blacks start talking about, we've had 400 years of slavery. Slavery ended in 1865, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the end of the Civil War. If you subtract 400 from 1865, that's 1465. Am I right? Is my math right?
Your math is probably right, but I'm not doing it. But you're pretty good at this. But go ahead, Joe. I'm with you.
Okay. So in 1465, they're saying that slavery started in America. When did Columbus discover America?
I knew you were going there. 1492, baby.
Right. Okay. Therefore, unless somebody wants to say, well, you know what, before Columbus discovered America, blacks were in America. Some people have said that. Blacks were in America. And blacks, I don't know if they were in America as slaves. I haven't heard that at that time. But just from the expression, 400 years of slavery. First off, no black person here has ever suffered from slavery. They've suffered from, yes, the after effects of slavery, which led to Jim Crow. And which didn't even end in 1964, because it just doesn't end overnight simply because a bill was passed. So I'm saying, even if you take 40 years, that means 2004, that's 40 years of Jim Crow having been swept under the rug, at least I would say 90% in my estimation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From that time onward, shouldn't black parents be free to have their children go to school, study, get their degree, get a job, and see what they can, and if they can't get the job they want, become an entrepreneur or do something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea of blacks blaming whites for slavery. Whites did do it, but for the aftermath of slavery. To today, if they were talking about 1965, even if it's 100 years beyond slavery, Jim Crow was very, very pernicious. It was very, very dangerous, and it was very harmful to black people. Yes. But today, I can't see it. I'm sorry. I can't see it.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that, Joe. Here's Cole on that, too. I'm with you. And, you know, Joe, and it's really hard because what Joe just said, and Joe knows this, that he would be attacked as a racist or as a white son of a bitch for just saying what he said. This is where we get into trouble. The object is not to oppress white people with our progressive ways, and now that we have financial stability and we have government power and blah, blah, blah. The idea is not to oppress white people. If you want to be on that same level, you're talking about equal, be equal. Equal is not oppressing the other or not criminalizing their beliefs. That's reverse racism. That is racism going on. And you may not want to hear that you're a racist. You may not believe that you're racist. And then you give your excuse, well, I have a right to be racist with you. No, you don't have the right to be racist. You want to be equal. We now have a chance to be on the playing field. Either you play or you sit on the bench. But once you're on the bench, don't complain about the game because you're not in the game, baby. Cole, your reply. Okay.
I think Cole got mugged on the subway.
I know. He probably got mugged by black people. I heard what you said, motherfucker. Get over here.
Yeah.
You look Jewish to me.
That's right.
Hit the rope.
Yeah.
And that goes by, and I'm going to play another thing, but before I do, and I realize that when I play too much, people lose interest, and maybe they just want to hear my opinion. That goes back to, why do black folks own negative shit? Why do black people, and we can go with nigger, why do we own that word? We didn't have that word. That word didn't come out of Africa or whatever. White people gave you that word, and it was a disparaging word, but why do we own the shit? Why do we own welfare? White people make up three times as much as black folks on welfare. Why do we need to own that shit? Why do we need to own a noose? Oh, if black people see it, there's a noose hung at work. Whoa-oh. There's a race car driver, and he had a noose in his garage. Uh-oh. Hey, they hung a lot of people before black people. Now, let's explain the difference. Black people are hung. Good thing. Hanging of black people, bad thing. Let's kind of make it what we need to do. Yeah, we are hung, but not by a tree. But why do we need to own this shit? Cindy and I had a conversation with the welfare thing. Back in the day, they had the welfare thing. Okay, some folks are thinking they did the welfare thing to break up the black family. That is true. If your family was going to be on some kind of assistance, the male cannot be in the household. True. But not all black people were on welfare. We were on, my family had never been on welfare. Not all black folks. Why do we own that? And if it is true, that is true. So the black man had to leave the house. The black man could still be part of that family even after he left the house. Or if he wanted to get off welfare, there's jobs. I know, not the best jobs in the world. You work hard to get off of welfare so you can be with your family. Why do we have to own that shit? Black people tend to own negative bullshit. And it's given to us, too, by the pandemic and by this. Well, black folks are more successful to come down with the pandemic. Black folks are more successful to come with high cholesterol. Black people are this and this and this. And we hear this as medical terms. Black people are most likely to have a stroke. Black people are, yeah, you're damn right, motherfucker, because we're worrying about what kind of job we're going to get. We do not eat well, but white folks are not telling us, giving us food to make us fat and give us high cholesterol or high blood pressure. That ain't white folks. That's us buying the wrong shit. And when you hear that medical report, some people go, well, they're just racist. That's not racist. That's a fact. Black people don't go to the doctor enough. Black people don't go to the dentist enough. Black folks have nothing to blame but themselves. And if you got one teeth assist, you can't blame the white folks. You need to brush. Well, I can't afford the dentist. I know you can't afford a dentist, but take care of your teeth assist while you have your teeth assist. Don't wait till your teeth assist fall out going, well, I can't afford a dentist, and you have that one tooth waving in the breeze. That's not white folks. That's you. You got to have proper hygiene. So you're always looking. We're always owning shit and negative shit that anything that black people want to own. It came from other areas. Nigger. Our black folks have been born with nigger, but we own the nigger now. We put it in our songs. We call each other this. We greet each other, and we're thinking that's okay. As soon as a white person said it, it's like, okay, let's fight. Let's kill that white boy. What the fuck is wrong with you? And why are you owning the word nigger? When somebody calls you nigger, automatically you say it's on you and your family. Why are you owning up to that? We own negative shit. And we don't own positive shit. I have Joe back in. Cole, I don't know if Cole can talk. He's probably in a situation where he can't talk and he's just listening to the show. I understand that shit.
But he can't come in?
He's here, but I can understand. He probably muted himself because he's probably in public and we're talking about things that'll probably get his ass beat up. You know, but I can't play this show here. It's not the first time I heard it. I love your show, Brian, but I can't listen to it at work. I'll get fired. I understand. I have kids in the room. I can't listen to your show. I have to put it on the headphone. I understand. But we talk about shit that should be talked about and that most people don't have the courage to it because black folks tend to blame shit on white folks. And then they tend to own shit, owning negative shit, welfare, owning the word nigger, owning the word police brutality, owning the word racism. Why do we own that? Because throughout history, it's always been owning the word hanging a noose. That brings me to what Cole sent me, and it was very interesting, and this is why I went off on this rant. Cole sent me this thing about this guy working at Amazon. And Cole was upset when he sent it to me. He was very upset. And I looked at it, and basically this guy was working at Amazon. I'm trying to pull it up. And he found a noose hanging somewhere in a distribution center.
Right.
Now, are you there, Cole? Hey, Joe. Are you there, Cole? Okay. Maybe that's not him. Here's the story.
Yeah, I'm here. I finally got off the train. I hit the number yesterday for 750. Woo, I'm like a kid in a candy store.
You did.
I hit some weed.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I hit St. Petersburg area code, which I hit last year for 4,500 around the same time. And it was just nice because I had I had 50 bucks in the bank. I just slammed the fuck out of them. Like, you remember when that Boston Marathon hit? That got bombed?
Yeah.
You mean
the area code for Boston. Yeah, the area code for Boston is 617. So the next day, once that happened, I said, I know it's coming out tomorrow. And I won $4,000 the next day. You know? Right, even 818. Like, I hit 818, and probably wouldn't even have played all the L.A. area codes unless I was on your show. Like, I played 323, you know, 213, 818. What else is that? What am I missing out there? 310. 315.
310.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a 9 something? Is there a 978?
There's
like
924, I think. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, you're talking about the nooses. Like, stop it with that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's your story.
$100,000 reward. That's what they're offering Amazon. They shut down. They were building the warehouse, and they shut it down because they found 8 nooses. You know? Unless there's a fucking
noose
outside there. 8 nooses that were, you know, separate occasions while they're building it in the warehouse. And Amazon shut it down, the building of it, and they offered $100,000 reward. Listen, unless someone hangs a fucking noose on your front porch, shut the fuck up. There's a cat swinging outside your house with a fucking, you know, a Nazi flag stapled to your front door or, you know, a dead monkey swinging from your porch. Shut the fuck up. Am I right?
Well, you're right. You're right.
Right.
And here's the guy right here, Cole. Here's the guy.
Like you said, you know,
right?
They hung up Indians every day and Mexicans with nooses. Right? Last time I checked, in France, they cut your fucking head off. You know, a lot of people got hung before black people in the South. And so it's just like you were saying, that was a great story you told about Pryor. You know, do you see any Anders around here? No.
Right.
So, like, my philosophy with that word. I know it doesn't bother you. You know, it doesn't get to you that you got thick skin.
No.
But the word was resurrected. The word was fucking resurrected.
Cole, I'm going to disagree with you.
It was resurrected by the fucking gangster rap. By the Ice Cube.
Joe wants to say something.
Cole.
He's going to disagree with you. Go ahead. Go ahead,
okay,
Joe.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Joe, Cole, can you hear me? Because I'm going to disagree with you. Let's say you're working on the job. You're working in an office. You go out to lunch. You come back, and you find a picture of a burning cross on your desk. Maybe you ignore it the first time. Tomorrow or the next day, you go out again, you come back from lunch, you find it in your drawer. Now, the next day you go out and you find it in your briefcase. You're going to continue to ignore that?
Well, you got a point. I'm just saying $100,000 reward for something where a warehouse is being built. You know, you got a very valid point. That was, you know what, you should use the analogy at, like, someone carved a swastika in my desk on my lunch break. And then the next day I found a swastika flag, you know, hanging over my computer. Someone's getting their fucking ass beat.
Right.
So you got a point. You got a point.
There you go.
Very, very good point.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
But also, Brian has a point, too, that if we give everything power, then it makes it more powerful than it actually is.
No, he's right, too.
You know?
No.
They're both right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I'm gonna play
this because it has a good point. And here it is. This is a guy, Amazon, who found the nooses. And here it is. Coming with the thing.
Yeah, no.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody because of the background noise, but this is important.
They
here it is.
We used to have a beige one.
Uh-huh. Okay, hold on.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry. I'll mute myself.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Here we go. This is the guy talking about the Amazon nooses.
Racists must work at a hardware store because they got a lot of supplies. An Amazon construction site in Windsor, Connecticut has been shut down because somebody keeps leaving nooses there. So far, they found 8, the first one being found April 27th. That's a lot of free time and energy for hate crime. They couldn't just create a fake Twitter handle and harass famous people like a normal bigot. Hate got this person tied knots like a Cub Scout troop. They should be easy to find. Just look for the person with the driest, crustiest, ashiest fingers in town. Those ropes have to take a toll on your hands, or go to stores and find out who's buying an endless supply of rope. Amazon had to stop work because of this. This is bigger than racism. Now you're messing with next-day shipping. That ain't going to fly. Amazon is now offering a $100,000 reward for information, which means that fool's getting caught soon because most of the people working on that site ain't making $100,000. Folks are going to stake out that place overnight to catch the noose bandit. It's just a matter of time.
There you go. There you go. I'm opening up the phones. There you go.
That guy is right.
Maybe the nooses were there because there's a lot of noose work at Amazon.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, somebody's bound to, you know, to drop a dime on whoever the noose guy is.
Right. Oh, they will. But again, should it have? I understand symbols and I understand the important thing. You had an example of the burning cross and so on and so forth. We in California, we have this festival called the Burning Man. I wonder what they burn in. It probably is not a cross. It's probably some hay or whatever. I understand symbols. But do we have to own the symbols? I could understand if you go to a synagogue and somebody puts a carved Nazi symbol and whatever. Okay, I understand. I understand. But the nooses, they did hang different people. They even hung women for being witches. They got hung. In Salem, they hung a lot of white people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, they hung. But, see, women don't get the nooses. But let's say a bunch of women around the country were now getting nooses, which were attached to the symbol of the Salem witch burnings. You better believe women would and should stand up and say, somebody's threatening me. If the symbol is not only just a symbol of hate, but of death and destruction, and if that symbol is being continuously used, right, to harass somebody, to me, it's only a matter of time before the person who's doing it is actually going to commit some sort of mayhem. Either they're going to sneak up behind somebody and clock them, or they're going to try to kill him, or they're going to try to defame him, or him or her. You don't perpetually leave symbols of hate unless you've got an agenda of doing hate, in my opinion.
Good point.
But see, but the point is, and he has a good point, but it goes with the Bill Maher thing. Long ago in the 50s and the 60s, that would be tolerated. Now in the 21, we're going to hunt your ass down, and there's a $100,000 bounty on your fucking head. You see what I'm saying? Instead of we keep saying, "Oh my God, there's nooses."
Well, that's a
good
thing.
We should say, "Yeah, that motherfucker sent a noose out there for hate." But look how society views it now. Look at the progression. Now we got motherfuckers, including white people, going, "We'll find his ass." You know what I mean? He's an outlaw.
Yeah.
So
you
we
know
have
what?
Progressed into a situation where we're not going to tolerate that bullshit.
Yeah, but you know what, Brian? The ones that are going to try and get the $100,000 award aren't Humphrey Bogart. They're not street. I mean, like if that's really going on, I don't need the reward. Let me just find who it is and beat their fucking ass. And to me, that's more. But $100,000, I mean, that's like a fucking kiss in the bucket for Jeff Bezos.
I'm in.
I tell you what, that's
I'm in.
Let's go. Let's split
the
it.
Money.
Let's meet wherever
who
the fuck
cares
that is.
His
let's find him.
The money. No, Cole, you're not. I was with you to the point where you said forget about the money. Because I'm going to say something. I don't care. Wait, let me just explain. There's going to be racism in this world. And I'm to be honest with you, if you're a racist, I'm going to applaud you. Because if I take away your ability to have freedom of expression, freedom of this and whatever you believe in, then you take away my civil rights and whatever I believe in. We can't have it both ways. And me with Black Power, me celebrating Juneteenth, me celebrating Martin Luther King holiday, there might be some race going, well, they shouldn't celebrate that, nigga. Well, if they take that away from me because it offends them, then I'm no better walk down the street saying white pride and this and this and this.
Right.
I'm saying,
right. That'd be like,
go white dude.
Said, fuck
I'm getting the
fuck
money.
Fuck the 4th of July. Fuck the National Anthem. Fuck Veterans Day. You know
hey,
what I mean?
I get a
it's
day
a two-way
off.
Street.
Okay.
You're right. Did you talk about the Juneteenth? I think it's such a bunch of fucking bullshit. I think that the only reason that the Republicans, sorry Joe, the only reason that they passed that shit is because
Joe's a libertarian.
Federal holiday.
Joe's not a Republican.
Okay, sorry.
Joe's not a
everybody
Republican.
Everybody wants a federal holiday. If we can add another holiday, they're going to vote for it. So don't think that the people in D.C. are suddenly politically correct towards black people to make this holiday, okay? It's about making a fucking other day where we can shut shit down and barbecue. Not me. I'm not barbecuing shit. But
black people are not thinking that, Cole. And if
I know
you do barbecue,
I know they're not.
Black people
where
I live, and I'm not going to tell you the city. We have Armenians. I mean, Armenians is like all over the place. And every year they are protesting about the genocide in Armenia with the Turks did. And the Americans will not acknowledge that happened because of the political friendship we have with Turkey, and we need them.
Well, they do the same thing with
for
Israel.
For years we denied that. We didn't kind of deny it, but we didn't kind of nod and say, you guys did it because the Turks say it's... Now we acknowledge that
you
have that genocide.
You know, maybe you die.
Well, what about Israel?
What I'm
going to
do?
What about Israel? Everybody turns their eyes at that
because we give
$3.8 billion a year to that shitbox country, and this is coming from somebody whose father was born in Russia. Not my great grandfather, my grandfather. Okay, so I'm a half a Hebe. And you know what? I'm not welcome there because my mother's not Jew. I'm not welcome. I can't be buried in the homeland. Think about that concept for a second. We're creating a homeland that was annexed. Annexed means stolen, by the way. The UK, the number one empire of stealing and colonizing, stealing land, besides the Roman Empire. So they annexed the land in 1948 to create a homeland for the Jews. And now you flash forward. Three and a half generations later, and these fucking kids don't even know the holiday. Some Jews in Israel, they don't even know what the fuck went on. You know, I had ancestors that were killed in Dachau and gas chambers in Auschwitz. Okay, so the fact that they just bombed again. I saw that. So I posted the picture. 15-year-old girls at the 16-year-old brother's funeral, crying her eyes out. For what? The fuck are you bombing a country that you stole their land for? Give them back their fucking land. It's the same as what's going on in Yemen. It's the same as probably going on in Armenia. And just
I'm
to
glad
make one
you
thing
brought
clear,
up Yemen.
What about
I'm glad
Russia?
You brought up,
everybody thinks that Russia's our friends because of Trump. Russia is our fucking enemies. They are our fucking enemy along with China, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. Don't get it twisted.
You're right.
Russia's the fucking enemy.
You're right.
Thank you.
Always happy.
Fuck Russia.
That's right.
I'll never go there. I don't fly anyway. But anyway, go ahead, Brian. I think you said you want to touch on something.
Now, I'm glad you get it out of your system. This is Friday.
I just told this cop, I just motioned to this cop for him to put on his mask. He did not give me a friendly look, but I run faster than his bullet.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you go with authority. You're telling authority what to do. It doesn't usually go well.
Oh,
make sure the
why
cop...
you got to poke the bear?
Yeah, I know. He pokes the bear every
your back, your mom. Holy shit, this place is packed.
I just want to tell folks, if you see a cop wearing knee pads, don't mess with him. Too soon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless it's a woman, and then you can tell her to get on her knees.
Yeah, Joe, that's a good one. Unless it's a woman. That's a good one. I like that. This is time for our first break. This is where I lose people because I haven't had coffee yet. And we're going to our next segment, which is Juneteenth. Some people think it's bogus. Cole just made a statement about it's just another holiday for we can get off work early and barbecue. And I don't know if people quite understand what Juneteenth is really about. And then you're thinking on the outside, okay, you got your holiday and you're celebrating the freedom of slavery and it's now over. And it's like, what the fuck? You're celebrating something that, because you've been free all your life and everything, so you're going to celebrate the end of slavery? What the fuck are you doing? Why don't you celebrate something else? I mean, we can understand all this kind of stuff. If I have to be responsible, we're going to go over it for about 10 minutes. What is Juneteenth? I'll make my comments during it. Is it a bogus holiday? Is it bullshit? Is it just to patronize black people because we're up in arms and we're beating our tom-toms and we want more
black? That's what I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it just, you know,
that's
Joe Biden's in there? If you pull down Joe Biden's pants, you see on his ass says property of black people. I mean, how much farther do we bend over on this?
Did you see what
you know
said?
What I mean?
This is the proudest moment of my life, you know, surrounded by, you know, give me a fucking break with that shit.
Right.
Here's a guy who fucking blasted Anita Hill. Here's a guy who's anti-weed and pro-war, anti-gay marriage. Like, the fucking only reason he's in office with this fucking oatmeal between his ears is because he rode on fucking Obama's coattails. That's the only fucking reason. And I can tell you who the Republican candidate's going to be and might win, and that, depending how bad Biden fucks up the next 3 years, it's going to be Ron DeSantis of Florida. Mark my words. There's nobody else out there. It's going to be Ron DeSantis as the Republican in 2024.
I don't know.
He's right.
I'm right, Joe?
Go ahead.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis is the leading Republican. And he won all, except for Trump. Trump is talking about running again and wants DeSantis as his running mate. And DeSantis, I believe, said that he would be fine with him. But
well,
if Trump doesn't run again,
he won't finish his office because he's too old. As I said before, I don't think anybody should start their office as president at past the age of 70. Shouldn't start a term. If you're 74, you get one term. And as long as we keep having no term limits on Supreme Court justices, which I think should be 12 years, senators and congressmen should be 8 years, nothing's ever going to change. And they're not going to vote themselves out. And it also should be another... There should be another four justices added. It should be 13. I mean, you know what I mean? Well, what is
no,
it?
I don't think
I
so.
Mean,
I think that's packing the court. I think the nine,
yeah.
The number of nine is fine. I don't think term limits is the remedy to the problem because
well,
as long as...
Well,
just like
Kavanaugh,
George Carlin
fucking
said.
Thomas and this bitch they just appointed are fucking, they're anti-abortion. So I just don't want to see women going back to coat hangers in states like Mississippi and Alabama. And now I think it's going to be a felony in Texas. And don't get me started on Texas with their fucking, you know, license. And
there's a lot of issues. Yeah. There's a lot of issues.
Who doesn't even make
about.
It that far?
But
the world's coming to an end. Anyway, fuck the Juneteenth holiday.
I don't think Juneteenth is to placate blacks. And I think it's because also Congress wants to inflame a civil war themselves. Congress is a bunch of scum, both Republicans and Democrats. I don't think there's anybody left in the Democratic or Republican Party that's a true American. Because if they were,
touch upon that a little bit more. How do you think they? How could they spark a civil war, Joe?
Well, because it's going to incrementally build up to that. If you're going to have Juneteenth, if you're going to have Black Lives Matter, if you're going to have this critical race theory, those are three items right there. There's going to be more coming down the pike. The mainstream media will inflame it. There'll be false flags, and eventually, it won't be just, as Brian was saying, white people are getting angry. Motherfuckers, when white people and black people start getting angry, start pulling out their 45s, you're going to have you might have a civil war. You might have a civil war, and if not, not a physical civil war, certainly a spirit. I don't want to use the word spiritual because that implies God. Let's say a cultural civil war between blacks and whites. Blacks and whites, there won't be any inclusion in the next few years. There'll be blacks who will not want to sit next to whites on the train or on the bus, and there'll be whites who will not want to sit next to whites or blacks on the bus in the upcoming years if we continue with what we're doing.
It will be anarchy, and we got to get past that. And you're right. I agree with both of you. I agree with you, Miles. I agree with you, Joe, 100%. Both of you guys, I agree with 100%. And I know I'm not politically correct, and I'd say, and people who think I should be, fuck you. But I say my opinions, and I have the right to say my opinions. And what my opinions is that for us to be equal and to move on, we got to let go of the past. I equate it like this, black people, black folks, and I love you because I am black and my mother is black. I got family who's black. Yeah, they are. I say it like simple as this. You have a relationship, and it's a bad relationship. This bitch did you dirty. Okay. So now you meet somebody else, a nice person, beautiful person. But you cannot have a good relationship with that beautiful person if you don't let go of the past, if you don't let go, and you start treating her like she was that bitch that cheated on you and lied to you, blah blah blah, and you cannot look at your new girl who's treating you really nicely with respect, but you won't let that happen because you can't let go of that woman's a bitch, and you're thinking all women are bitches. That's the only way I could use a metaphor that way. You got to let go of the past to have a future. I'm not saying forget it. You don't forget it. There's a lot of people who died for that past and relish it and say thank you. And they would want you to say we died for you to have a future, for you not to keep putting the burden on yourself of what happened to the past. And black people can't seem to let go. And they will use it as a weapon. And white people are getting tired of being guilt-ridden. They're being tired of being bad because they're white, being shunned because they're white, being criminalized that they're white, and the worst thing of all, white privilege. That's probably the worst thing you could say to a white person, like other than being a racist. And what the black people are saying, black folks are saying, well, that's not a bad thing. Yes, it is a bad thing because you are oppressing another person. Like we've been oppressed, and that's not the way to go. We only make up 15 to 19%, people. Do the math. Because when Joe and Cole is absolutely, or Miles is absolutely right, when white people are getting tired of this shit, and they are, the backlash will be unbelievable. And it will come because it came with us. Even the lower numbers that we had, the backlash, they did not see us coming. And we got to a point where we have power, words, financial stability. We cannot do this. We cannot oppress white people or blame them for past issues. If you want to be a society, we got to work with them. And pretty soon there won't be a color. Because we're all human beings, because I'm going to bring somebody on next week who's going to talk about aliens. And then what's going to happen? We got a black alien, a white alien? Well, the gray aliens are better than the dark aliens and the dark aliens.
Oh, did you hear?
Yeah.
Did you hear? Supposedly, the Pentagon or at least Biden's government, his regime has said that they believe that they have seen UFOs hovering mm-hmm. over every major nuclear launch site.
Really?
And they've seen that for years, but they just didn't let them. Yeah, but they didn't let the citizenry know about it until now.
Seriously?
Oh, God, yeah. The aliens are coming. Mm.
They're coming. And they're probably just recharging their batteries and everything, you know, just plug it in and giving it a jump. I hear you. And then we're going to be against it until the women realize that the aliens have three dicks, and then they're going to welcome them. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. So let me get some coffee. You know, that alien don't look half bad. You've been with an alien, you'll never go back. Hang in. When we come back, we're gonna explain Juneteenth. Is this just propaganda bullshit to calm black people's nerves, or is this a real thing? And then you have to question yourself, why are we celebrating the end of racism, the end of slavery? We've been free for a long period of time. Do we really need to celebrate that? I mean, isn't there something else we should be celebrating? Really? Honest? Yay, we get a day off because it ended racism back in, I don't even know the date. Joe probably knows the date. Whatever.
You know,
fine.
1865.
I haven't experienced slavery. My parents weren't slaves. My grandparents weren't slaves. But we're going to celebrate that? Okay. We're going to explain what that is.
I don't see a problem with it, except for the agenda that's part of it. The agenda is not to just say, you know, it's not to say this is the way our culture was back then, but we've come a long way. The agenda is, okay, black people, get angry. White people, get angry. That's what I think it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. When we come back, we do it. All I'm going to do is have a cup of coffee. I'm going to think. You're going to need this number because I'm going to piss you off, and you need somebody to yell at. It's 319-527-6099. You know, and Aisha, I expect you. I give you the invitation to come to the studio.
That would be nice to have her come in. Yeah,
it would, wouldn't it?
Have
I don't duck and dodge no one. Come on in. You know, it's all conversations to me. Because I'm going
to
tell you.
And if someone wants a piece of my ass, too, feel free to call in and beat me up. Take your best shot.
Cole's right there. He's an easy mark. Cole is low-hanging fruit.
Yes. I'm a low-swinging pinata. Come and take a swing.
Oh, boy.
I'm blind as a bat.
I don't.
And I have no filter here, motherfuckers.
I don't think if anybody wants to take a poke at either you or Brian or myself, that this should be the platform that they would feel comfortable in after we're finished with them.
It'd be like a gang rape from the Three Stooges on steroids.
I know. Oh God. I know.
I'll play curly.
Yeah, I know.
That's true. 319-527.
This is not
zero. 319-527-6099.
We'll tag team. We'll say go, and then Brian gets to go last in the pussy, though, because then we won't feel it. You know what I'm saying? So Brian has to start off with his dick down her throat, and then he goes last. Because then me and Joe are not going to feel the pussy, the rim, the sides of the pussy. Or you know what, Joe, I get to go first because Joe probably has like a big tuna fish can, like a tall boy cock, like one of those thick Colt 45 cans.
This is why you're low-hanging fruit.
What? God. How do we go from low-hanging fruit to low-hanging cock?
Hey, I'm having fun, man. Roll with it. Fuck it.
All right.
Yeah, we'll roll with it, he says. We'll roll with it. Yeah, roll with it. Okay, Cole.
It's a very exclusive. It took me a while to get this. The Pentagon had it, the government had it, and they buried it. I got the tape. This is the first slave, what he said when he stepped off that boat. This is the first thing he said. Document.
What
he
said?
It's documented.
What he said?
All right. It's documented.
I think the first grade when he hopped off the boat.
He said as he stepped off the boat.
Was what?
Hey, where are the white women at?
That's what he said.
Yeah. No, I think what he said, Brian, was, shit, I ain't baling no fucking hay or picking no cotton, motherfucker. I'm going to fuck your white wife.
Can I dance with
your name? Get back on that boat. Go back home.
That's right. So I'm going to send, I got to take a cup of coffee. We're going to explain June 10th, and we'll get the hell out of it. This is Friday, everybody.
Hey, Brian,
come in.
Can I send you a song, please? Because you're going to play a fucking piece of shit song. Unless you play it before 2000. You can pick something out before 2000,
oh, well.
And I'll let you pick something out. If you're going to pick something after 2000.
You're
going to
let me pick something out. Thank you, Cole.
Yeah, you have a bad.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
I'll be happy, even though my name's on the show. But I'm glad you, as a white man, will let me
so
pick out.
And let me pick my own music on my own show, master.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
I'll let you pick it out.
I'll tell you what, Brian, I'm going to send you a black song.
Yeah, it's your house, your show, your neighborhood, I'll let you do it.
It's your neighborhood.
Low hanging fruit. Fuck it, let me get a cold first before you guys do. The show. 319-527-6099. Come and take a shot at us if you don't agree with what we're saying, or even if you do agree with what we're saying, or you have something to say before the weekend. I'd like to hear from you. Ratings are up. It is. I swear to God. I'm surprised. All right, here we go. Thank you, Cole. I heard it. I'll play your song. But I have to...
not my song, someone else's song. Anyway, you got it in your inbox.
I hear it.
It's low hanging fruit. That's the name of my next album.
Jesus.
You know what? Maybe even if it is a drive-by. I don't get into many arguments anymore nowadays. I say, okay, you're right. Moving on. And that's my energy.
No.
I said, I don't get into any arguments anymore. I say what I have to say. Then if the person wants to continue with the argument, I just go, okay. You feel that way? No problem. I don't even bother anymore.
You were right before. This is a controversial show, and this is what we do. You know, we're not a show where we're going to kiss your ass, and the host isn't going to kiss your ass. I'm not going to take sides, but... I'll bring up a subject that's going to piss you off or make you think. That's what I do. So come on in and get an ass whooping. All right. Let's see. Okay, I was going to play it, but I'm not going to play it because Cole messed me up. And let me see. Okay. Aisha, first of all, I know you're still listening. You don't think I'm black enough? Cool. You think I'm against black people? You're wrong. What happened? You fall on the rail or something?
No, I didn't know there was a fallout. I didn't know that you know, message was coming from her. I just when I heard Joe say I wish she'd come back on, she's obviously angry. She's probably angry the way we're talking. And I think we're speaking, you know, from our hearts and the truth. And if it comes off like that, then, I mean, look, I live in the ghetto right now. There's 150 people, 130 people in my building.
You don't have to explain.
I'm the only
one. You know, when people start explaining, people start explaining their shit.
Why am I
going to
be defensive? Yeah, you're right. Then it makes it. Then they win. Then she wins. She's not going to win on the show.
You start getting defensive, makes you a victim and explaining that.
A pussy.
It's like. You take a shot. If that's what her opinion is, great. I got an answer for it. Aisha, I read it. I understand you think I'm Uncle Tom, I'm not black enough, and blah, blah, blah. That's what life is about, and that's what, democracy is about. And I just want to say this to you, Aisha, because I know you're listening. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm a demi-guy, meaning that you're listening to the show. I put on a forum here. You're welcome. You're welcome to respond to what I have to say. You're welcome. Because I'm just a regular Demi guy. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Face to face with greatness and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. It's nice to see the humans never change. Open your eyes, let's begin. Yes, it's really me. Breathe it in. I know it's a lot. The haters abide. When you're staring at a demigod. So what can I say except you're welcome. For the tide, the sun, the sky. Hey, it's okay, it's okay. You're welcome. I'm just an ordinary Jimmy guy. What can I say? You're welcome. Honestly, I could go on and on. I could explain every natural phenomenon. The tide, the grass, the ground. Oh, that was me, I was messing around. I killed a snake, I buried his guts. Sprouted a tree, now he got coconuts. What's the lesson? What is the takeaway? Don't mess with Maui when he's on a breakaway. In the tapestry here in my skin. Is a map of the victories I win. Look where I've been, I make everything happen. Look at that mean mini Maui, just tickety-tap. And singing and scratching, flipping and snapping. People are clapping, hearing me rap. And bring the chorus back in.
And you're welcome, Aisha. I gave you the platform. I addressed you. You listened to the show. You're welcome. All right, everybody. June 10th, 10th, whatever. So you can explain what it is, and then you make the decision. Is it just a holiday to placate black people because they're making so much noise? Is it a holiday that Joe Biden wants to get points that he owes black people for the election and he wants to get back? Or is it a real celebration?
You know what? He doesn't even...
Hmm?
He's not even sincere about it. You know about his rant when he was running for Congress and when he just first entered as a senator. What he said about black people. He said they were savages. He said they would infest. His attitudes towards black people haven't changed. This is just political theater. It's always political theater.
Well, it changed in a bit because I'll tell you why. This is payback. Joe owes the black people for the turnout and the vote and all this kind of stuff. He believes in, and he was losing in an election until, I forgot, I'm so sorry, oh my God, for what's his name from South Carolina said that he backed Joe. And it turned around. But Joe's paying back as much as he can. Thank you, black people. Whether he changed or not, Joe, you're right. Whether he changed or not his views on black people. But I kind of disagree with you because he got really close with Obama. And he is their grandkids. And, I mean, you know, what happened? If something happened to Obama, they go to Joe, and they became friends at that time. But is this just a payback to quiet black people down and say, hey, thank you, black people, for voting for me? Or does he really mean it? So let's look really deep on what is June 10th or 10th is really about. Yeah. And it takes a white man to correct a black man about what is Juneteenth. There you go. Thank you, Joe.
Well, I'll let you have it. This is your
okay,
show
you.
And your neighborhood, and I'll let you. I'll let you choose the song, and I'll let you do it. Yeah.
I mean, we do have breaking news. It's from the NAACP, and they want to thank Joe for giving him an award for correcting Brian about June 10th. And you are welcome to accept the award. It's You're an honorary. And if NAACP was correct and with all this bullshit, they would change color people to another phrase. The NAACP for National Advancement, for National Achievement or Advancement of Color People, the color people kind of offends people. It's 2021. Change that color people. Change it to... We'll work on it. Here we go. Juneteenth. It's a holiday celebrated on... In fact, Joe is going to sign it today to make it an official holiday. And by the way, Cindy gets half day off work today. And next year, she gets a full day off. A holiday celebrated on June 19 to commemorate the emancipation of enslaved people in the U.S. The holiday was first celebrated in Texas, which, by the way, is conservative. You can see tide has changed. Things are changing. We're on a date in 1865. In the aftermath of the Civil War, enslaved people were declared free under the terms of the 1862 Emancipation proclamation. You know what I'm saying, mother.
It's fucked.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So we look at it a little further. The stories that shed a light, bring changes, and make you love living in. Well, how did I get to that? But anyway, that's what it's about. These are some of the questions.
I don't know. You must have been taking a ride on Coast.
I know. I think I smelled the air.
I'm still hearing the train.
Coast.
Hey.
Me too.
Hey.
All right.
Brian, the word you're looking for is proclamation. Proclamation.
Emancipation. I've been emancipated for a while now. I'll be fine. But let me just go with it. I'm going to have to mute you a little bit, Cole, but I'll bring you back. Just hang on there. All right, here we go. These are the questions you may ask. Is there a right way to celebrate Juneteenth? The answer, the realization of black people's contribution to American cuisine is on full display in the Netflix series High on the Hog, but many culinary experts and historians will admit there is no right way to celebrate Juneteenth. Well, how do you celebrate Juneteenth? Yay, we're celebrating, yet you guys been free. Welcome to racism, everything else, but you're free. We should have a holiday that you've been free. I don't understand this, but here's another question. When was Juneteenth a national holiday in Texas? Well, Ross and her family were among the thousands of Texas slaves who were finally liberated in June of 1865 on a day that is now a national holiday. Ross and her family, who cares about Ross? Ross and her family, that's the description. They were celebrating that they were liberated on 1865. I'm telling you, is this really a bogus holiday? Bullshit.
This is going to inflame every year. This is
exactly.
going to inflame white people like you don't know. Because
exactly.
I know there are people, whites, who do not like the idea of Martin Luther King Day, except for a holiday. When this
mm-hmm.
thing comes around about slavery,
yeah.
I can just imagine next year. Oh,
I agree with you 100%. I mean, couldn't we have Charles Drew Day? And
that would be a good day because he discovered plasma. So that would be
right.
a good day.
Right. I mean, are we so stupid? We're trying to find something. Well, let's celebrate the freedom of slavery ended in 1865. What? We really need to celebrate that? We need to make it a holiday to remind people about slavery, that we were slaves, and we need kids to understand the negative thing? We could not celebrate Charles Drew, who created plasma, who saved the South? The man basically saved the South, literally saved millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people's lives on creating plasma. Forget about him, or the Underground Railroad. Why don't we celebrate her holiday?
God, what, Harriet Tubman?
Harriet Tubman. I mean, there's a lot. You know what I'm trying to say? But Charles Drew, and people don't even talk about Charles to this day. Isn't that weird? And again, I blame the schools.
Yeah, that's true. If major accomplishments, if they're going to be talked about in history class, then they should talk about, at the very least, the person who discovered plasma so that blood transfusions could be successfully done. That's the way it is.
Right. And people don't know about Charles Drew. This guy is remarkable, man. In 1904... he was an American surgeon. Do you know what was happening in 1904 with black people? We're too busy celebrating something negative like, yay, we're free. This man, Charles Richard Drew, he was born June 3rd, again, Juneteenth. He was born June 3rd, 1904, and he was an American surgeon. He was a medical researcher. He was a black Dr. Fauci. He researched okay. I guess I went too far. Okay. But he researched...
Fauci is a fraud. It's already been, shown that Fauci is a fraud. Okay. I know what you're saying, though.
But Charles Drew, he researched in the field of blood transfusion, developing improved techniques for blood storage, and applied his expert knowledge to developing large-scale blood banks. And early in World War II, this allowed medics to save thousands of Allied forces' lives during the war. Do you understand what he did? That our servicemen, he allowed what his research has done and taught the techniques of blood storage was allowing, in World War II, that allowed medics to save thousands of Allied forces' lives during the war.
I didn't know that.
As the most prominent African-American in the field, Drew protested against the practice of racial segregation and the donation of blood. I mean, this guy is remarkable, and we're not celebrating, it's not Charles Drew Day? We're going to celebrate the freedom of the slaves? Are you fucking kidding me? This is bullshit. It's my opinion. But come on, man. We could do better. We could do a lot better. Cole, yes, I know you have something to say. We can do a lot better and make it a legitimate holiday. And forever, did you imagine if you had Charles Drew Day and kids will learn about what Charles Drew did? This changes lives and this changes ideas about black people. Instead, we're going to bring back racism and go about we freed the slaves and we should celebrate that shit? Because they finally got the word 2 years later after Lincoln freed us? We could do better on that holiday. Cole, your mic is open anytime you want to talk. But that's what when you give me the explanation of why we're celebrating Juneteenth, Ross and her family were among the thousands of Texas slaves who were finally liberated in June of 1865 on a day that is now a national holiday. We're celebrating the Ross family because they were liberated in 1865. This is a holiday? Are you fucking kidding me? It's bogus. And bullshit, because we should be celebrating Charles Drew and other black Americans. We should be celebrating the Tuskegee Airmen. It should be the Tuskegee Airmen Day. The black airmen, the Air Force people who fought against segregation and everything, and they still saved our asses in the war.
Absolutely.
But we're going to celebrate the freedom of the Ross family who was just liberated in 1865 because they realized they were free? This is a holiday? gives a fuck about the Ross family. But you're not going to hear that about another black person, right? What are you? What are your thoughts, Cole? What are your thoughts?
At this point, I have no comment because I don't want to get killed. But thank you.
Yeah.
For asking.
I hear you.
So I retract everything I said on the show. I've been on angel dust, and it just wore off. Thank you.
We're going to get off that. We're going to hit something that you could talk about. Here's a headline right here, because there's only about 10 more minutes at the end of the show, and it's Friday. I won't be on for a while. 319-527-6099. It's Friday. Now, listen, I go on holiday next week. I will be on the show off and on. If you really want to find out when the show is posted or when you can hear the show, go to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. Hit the follow button. And when we come on, you will get notified in your email when we're on. But right now,
hold on, time out,
the next
Brian.
2 weeks.
You just took a vacation. What's going on here?
I'm going to Alaska, man, in about 2 weeks. In about a week. No, Wednesday I'm going to Alaska. I'm going to
You're
Alaska.
Going to Alaska? Are you insane? What for? A movie?
Family. Cindy's family is in Alaska, and they're having nice reunion, so I'm going to Alaska to see the family.
All right, well, pack your booties.
So I'll be leaving Wednesday. So the show will be not our regular time is 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, but
now,
off
Brian,
and on it. You
I don't
see.
Know, I don't know what. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt. I don't know what it's like up there, but I would mm-hmm. suggest highly that you don't walk around in a ski mask in the day. With your hand in the right pocket.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You might not be
coming
back.
I know what you mean.
I thought it was a whale, bro. I don't know where
yeah.
I was. They've never seen a black. They might not have seen a black person there before up there.
Well, you know, what you do see is a lot of indigenous, or if you want to call it Native American Indians, who are homeless, and they're all over the street walking around, dragging things
God.
And everything. What you do see, it's wow. really sad. It's really sad.
Wow.
The homelessness, the homeless thing is just unbelievable in Alaska. It's a beautiful country, but my God, I'm living in California, and I have seen homeless camps, but in Alaska, it doesn't compare.
It probably has something to do with global warming and the fishing industry taking a dive, right?
Well,
is
it could be. It could be, but it is just, it is rough.
That's sad.
We're gonna end it. We ended on news. And you said Firestone had something to say. You still have something to say?
Yeah, we can go to Bob. Bob's in a restaurant on the Lower East Side, and I don't really care about the people around me. So let's go to Bob with this story. Hold on 1 second. Let me patch him in.
Okay.
Let's
let Bob get his story together, because we got a couple of minutes with Chappelle, because we're going to entertain it, and we're supposed to make phony phone calls on Friday.
Well, I think we missed that boat, unless you still want to do that. Let's go with Bob first, because Chappelle's going to be a little more funny than
okay, go ahead. Go with Bob. Okay, then. Is Bob ready?
Yeah, he's ready. He just texted me.
Okay, well, let me get Bob's intro, okay? Here we go.
Okay.
Let me get Bob's intro. Okay, here we go. Hold on. Let me get his intro. And now, breaking news from the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. We go to our number one reporter on the scene, Bob Firestone. As you can see, he's on location, and he's reporting from the train station. Bob, take it away.
Hey, Brian, Bob Firestone reporting for Brian the Hammer Jackson Blog Radio. And this story today is kind of crazy. It seems like there are undertones of revenge. Anyway, the headline reads, family says recently murdered scion of South Carolina legal dynasty received online threats over his role in the 2019 death of a college girl. A young man and his mother were mysteriously gunned down at a family home in South Carolina earlier this month. Surviving family members are beginning to publicly speculate about the reasons why. The story here is an exercise in old money, accidental death, brutal murder, and the online culture of pseudo-anonymous harassment replete with allegations of cover-up and uncertain allegiances. Margaret Maggie Murdaugh, 52, and her son Paul Murdaugh,
22 were found shot and killed on the night of June 7th. According to the Clayton County Sheriff's Office, the mother and son had been shot multiple times between 9 and 9:30 a.m. that day. One of them had been killed with a shotgun, the other with an assault-style rifle, according to local outlet, the Island Packet. Richard Alexander Alex Murdaugh, 53, discovered their bodies upon arriving at home from work just after 10 p.m. He dialed 911. The distraught father then called two of his brothers. As soon as I answered the phone, I knew something was wrong, said John Martin Murdaugh, said two tears during an interview with the Good Morning America on Thursday. Alex just told me, come as fast as you can. Paul and Maggie have been hurt. And the uncle thinks he knows one possible reason why. Paul Murdaugh, the 22-year-old, was facing three criminal charges over a February 2019 boating incident, that killed 19-year-old Mallory Beach. Prosecutors allege that Paul Murdaugh, who was underage at the time, had been boating under the influence of alcohol. Beach's mother also filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Murdaugh, his family, and the corner store that sold the booze leading up to her daughter's death. Paul Murdaugh was pleaded not guilty and was freed on $50,000 bond. The trial date had not been yet scheduled. Now the charges have been dismissed. The Murdaugh home is in question is actually a 1,770-acre hunting lodge, and the locals refer to it as Moselle. They also own what People Magazine refers to as, quote-unquote, an airy beach house in Edisto, South Carolina. Beach's body was not only discovered 7 days after the crash, and the resulting controversy led to many in the region to wonder if the Murdaugh family's longstanding ties to the South Carolina legal community had any impact on the investigation. Those worries were exacerbated when the 14th Circuit Solicitor's Office and the agency that would have them normally had jurisdiction over that case recused themselves due to the family's extant ties to the office. The Beaches family's attorney had explicitly alleged that law enforcement sought to improperly influence the investigation, noting that Paul Murdaugh was not interviewed at the scene. There's also reportedly an investigation into whether multiple members of the Murdaugh family obstructed justice immediately after Beast died. Paul Murdaugh, grandfather, Paul Murdaugh's grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather served as elected prosecutors over multiple generations in South Carolina's low country region. After Alex Murdaugh was himself never elected, but he was, but his biography on the family's storied law firm website notes that he worked as a part-time prosecutor for the 14th Judicial Circuit. The father is also named as a party in the civil suit because he owns the boat, and his other son, Alex Buster Murdaugh Jr., is also named defendant because he allegedly provided his younger brother with the necessary ID used to fool the convenience store clerk into order to order the purchase of the alcohol that on that fateful day. The Murdaugh family, long known in the region as something of an institution, had more recently become the subject of suspicion and scorn in the aftermath of Mallory Beach's death. Paul Murdaugh was apparently bullied and threatened over his real or perceived role in Beach's death. I don't think it was a credible threat. If it was, I would have tried to do something or notify someone, said Alex's brother, said during his GMA interview. But I guess maybe I made a mistake. The second brother, who Alex Murdaugh called the night he found the family dead, confirmed online abuse, but said that the negativity wasn't helpful to finding out who killed his sister-in-law and nephew. I really don't know of any enemies, Randy Murdaugh the fourth said during the emotional interview. If you hear all of this talk on social media with regard to Paul, but I don't know anybody that would truly be an enemy or want to truly harm them. You can watch the interview here. Anyway, back to you, Brian. Thanks for reporting from South Carolina. This is Bob Firestone, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you, Bob Firestone, and he really is stone. Thank you for that report, Bob Firestone.
I can confirm that. And so real quick, the
you're still talking. I signed you off. Bob Firestone.
Firestone's gone. It's Miles. Miles is back on.
I'm sorry, Miles.
Yeah. Bob is hopping on a plane back to New York. Okay, so here's the deal with this.
Didn't you hear the music?
All right, no, just quick.
He's out of control.
I know.
Go to rehab, Mr. Firestone.
Always.
All right, fuck it. I was just trying to make a point, but I give up.
No, make a point. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's Friday. Make a point.
Fuck it.
Go ahead, Mr. Firestone.
I know. Right, hang on, let me watch this
show. You motherfuckers. Thank you for that.
Hey, fuck you, Joe. Fuck you, Joe.
And Joe, he should sign off that way after he's done. And fuck you and fuck everybody around me. This is Bob Firestone.
I know. This is Bob Firestone.
That wasn't Bob. Bob did a good job. Bob's gone. That was Miles. Everybody turned their head when I said mother effer in the restaurant, by the way. Now, here's the deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. If that was your sister, your niece, your cousin, your girlfriend.
I get it.
When the brother of the father, right, the uncle of the kid Paul. Now, first, let's recap. The brother should be charged because he provided the liquor. He provided the fake ID. The son, he should still be charged. The son is dead, so he kind of got what he deserved. He should have turned himself in. I would turn myself in and do the 1 to 3 years or whatever, 3 to 5, whatever it is. You know, he got drunk at the age of 19, and he killed a girl. Now,
right. Why would you charge somebody supplying the alcohol? You have no idea what they're going to do afterwards. That's like holding liquor stores or bars accountable for rape,
right,
or something like that.
He was under – no. He provided an illegal ID to get – alcohol
and?
For an underage kid, and he killed
and?
The girl while he was boating.
But again,
come on, bro.
I hear what you're saying. I had fake IDs, but I didn't
point.
Go kill nobody.
Forget about that point. What I'm trying to make, my point that I'm trying
okay,
to make.
Okay,
what's
a good point, but
is,
okay,
is
I'll
this,
forget about
is this.
It.
Forget about that point.
I'll forget about your good point.
No, that's not my good point. Here's a good point.
You
said right? You want to feel a good point? Reach on the top of your head, Brian and Joe. You'll feel a couple of good points up there. Okay, here's the point. The point is that the father and the uncle both, there was online threats. And he's a very, you heard, 1,770-acre hunting lodge.
Yeah.
Very, very affluent, very connected with lawyers in the community. They buried that case.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to say is that the revenge factor, okay,
yeah.
I guarantee you it's a friend or a family member that's behind that fucking double murder. The mother didn't deserve to be killed. I don't know what kind of lady she was, you know, but to kill the mother. Now the kid got what he deserved. He took a life. He should have been in jail. If he had turned himself in, he probably wouldn't have got killed or he would have got shanked or raped in prison. Now my point I'm trying to make
that's even
is
better
that
than being killed.
The point, yeah,
you know, a little shanking and raping hasn't hurt anybody. But go ahead,
The point I'm trying to make is that that girl died at 19 and she was just swimming in a fucking lake. Okay,
right.
So there's payback, and they just buried it, and then the family probably hired a hitman, a shotgun and an assault weapon, went and killed the mother and the son. So what I'm trying to say, both the father and the uncle are both saying, there was a few threats, but I didn't think it was a problem. What are you, stupid?
Mm-hmm.
You killed a fucking beautiful, she's beautiful, Brian. You killed a beautiful 19-year-old girl.
Opposed to an ugly
by
one.
Being reckless.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Maybe they wouldn't care if she was ugly. But kill it. You know, you killed an innocent girl. You took her
right.
Life away.
Yeah, it's an ugly daughter. Don't give a shit.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
You know, maybe if she was a tranny, if she was
I hear what your point. I hear what your point is.
That's my point.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
I hear your point. But I do got some news, too.
Bob wire him money to get on the train back to get back to from South Carolina.
I hear you. I got some. We usually end the show on breaking news, and I got some breaking news, too. You ready? Here you go.
All right. What is it? A fart?
Yeah. No, I got some breaking news, and it's important news that everybody should know, and it just came out right now, and a lot of people don't know about it, but I'm going to send it to myself, okay? And now, we have breaking news from the Brian Hammer Jackson Show, and here's Brian breaking his own news. This is an exclusive from Brian the Hammer Jackson. You know, what's going on right now is some serious shit. Now, what I'm going to do, Cole, don't get offended because I'm hearing a lot of background noise. I'm going to mute you, but don't go away.
Yeah.
Just listen.
I'm going to mute myself. I'm muting.
Okay. You want to mute yourself? Okay. If you mute yourself, I'll let you mute yourself. Okay. Your line is open, but you can mute yourself. This is some serious shit what's going on, and it just has breaking news right here. But stay tuned for the next story. The next story is going to fucking blow your mind, and it's going to scare the shit out of you. But the first story is Johnson & Johnson vaccine. All right? This is really bad news. It says the headline.
No, I said,
Joe?
No, I was just waiting.
Okay, the headline says, high hopes for Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine have fizzled in the U.S. So I feel sorry for any of you guys who got your Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Seriously, this is not good. This article has been revised to reflect the following correction.
I'm not taking any of them.
Well, after the second story, you may want to, because the second story is devastating, and it's here. But this story here... An earlier version of this article incorrectly stated what portion of the doses Johnson & Johnson promised in the U.S. government by the end of June have been delivered. It is less than half, not a quarter. Okay, you're going to correct that? Okay, who cares? When Johnson & Johnson single-dose virus vaccine was authorized for emergency use in late February, it was seen as a breakthrough for reaching vulnerable and isolated Americans.
I know, Brian. I know. It's Friday. It's 3 hours. You're tired.
I'm going to blame it on it. I'm blaming it on everything but me.
Yeah.
I know.
No, anything else that's coming down the pipe. That's right. I know.
Blame it on them. It's a crucial alternative to vaccines that require two shots. Remember, Johnson & Johnson was a one-shot thing. It was the savior. It was the one. It was soon popular to college campuses, door-to-door campaigns, and was harder to reach communities that often struggle with access to health care. Okay, it was the boy. But with only 11.8 million doses administered in the United States so far, less than 4% of the total, the one-and-done vaccine has fallen flat. States have warned for weeks that they may not find...
Wait a minute, Brian.
Yeah.
Is that just when you say 11 million? Is that only of the Johnson & Johnson? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 11.8 million doses of that vaccine.
Of this? Oh, okay.
And they can't find people who want to take it. Millions of doses will soon expire, partly because the vaccine appeal dropped after it was linked to a rare but serious blood clotting disorder and injections, and it was paused for 10 days. All right. And it said it took another hit. And remember who owns Johnson & Johnson. This is the same company who was sued with the baby powder. Would they have that? Joe, help me out. Remember Johnson & Johnson that had ovarian cancer?
The same company. Right.
And now it had an expiration date. It says we just can't use it. And here it says right here, Johnson & Johnson throughout tens of millions of doses produced at a plant in Baltimore because they may be contaminated. Now, on top of the blood clotting, now we're going to bring in contamination because of the lifeline of this vaccine. If I took Johnson & Johnson right now, man, I would be scared out of my mind because I wonder how many contaminated people have that. You know what I mean?
Is that you?
I mean, the contaminated doses. Huh?
Was that you or was that Cole?
I'm sorry. I'm in the bathroom.
I thought it was you. Cole, are you flushing toilets? Is that Bob Farsey? You just flushed the toilet on my breaking news?
Jesus. Hey, fucking Jesus.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to put myself on. You put yourself on you except for the fucking toilet.
Has 415 cases of blood clots recently.
Okay. Well,
and
wait till you hear the second
rare
story.
Rare blood clots.
Wait till you hear the second story.
I got a story after Brian finishes.
I got a story about the fact. Okay.
I understand.
Yeah,
okay. So
yeah.
I'm not going to finish the rest of it, but here's the gist of it. So now we're dealing with contamination because of how it's stored, and it has a limited supply of being safe. Now you have to wonder what our fucking government.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now, there are news that they were sending these Johnson & Johnsons and AstraZeneca to other third world countries because of outbreaks, India and so on and forth. What are we doing? So I wonder how many people got this contaminated vaccination from Johnson & Johnson. Because you know damn well they're
thousands,
not going to. Like, it has to be. Because they have this expiration date, like tomorrow they're going to say, well, we got to just ship it out now. You know they did.
I got a question.
Well, they don't care because it's population control. They want to kill people.
I'll wait till Cole finishes. Question.
Go ahead. I'm done, Joe. Go ahead. I'm going to take a shit. I'll mute myself. Go ahead.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. That'll be good.
I hope you do.
So.
God. You know what? Only my show.
Fuck, I eat.
Yeah, go. Okay. All right. Let's let Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Remember when the vaccines first came out about a year ago, and both the two new ones that came out. There
you go. That was me, Joe. Go ahead. No, that was that sound effect. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, that was you. All right.
That was a sound effect. That was just, yeah. I'm 5 years old. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So, remember, they both had to be frozen sub-zero temperature. Whatever happened to that?
Right.
That's my question. Whatever happened?
I don't know. And you know what? You'll never get the right answer, Joe. Because it's too politically, we're too
That's
politically
right.
into this. And if we say anything that really would happen, if there was a story leaked out that people got contaminated doses in their arm, do you know what that would do to the program? Do you know what that would do to people
That's
not getting doses?
Yeah,
it would just destroy it. You're not going to get that answer. You're not going to do it. The truth won't come out for another 10 years when there's a whistleblower who worked in,
I got a story for you after you finish this story.
Okay. Well, here he goes. You're not going to believe this story. And this story just broke this morning. And it should scare the fuck of all you people who are not vaccinated. Here we go. Here's a headline. U.S. coronavirus. There's a new strain out now called Delta. It's called the Delta variant.
Bullshit. Excuse me.
And it could be a dominant strain. They're saying.
Bullshit.
They are saying that this Delta. What the fuck? I'm trying to get an award here for the news. You know what I mean? Fuck. They're saying that this Delta variant is twice as it's 2.0. It's the virus 2.0. The Delta variant of COVID-19 is expected to become the dominant strain in the United States. And it's further reasons why people need to ramp up on their vaccination. And here's the story. In an interview with CNN on Friday, Dr. Rochelle Walensky said that the Delta variant increases transmittability and could allow it to overtake the Alpha variant first identified in the United Kingdom. The UK variant was more transmittable. This is now 70% more transmittable than that one. Yeah. It's here, they say.
Right.
We know that the Delta variant is even more transmittable than the UK, and I anticipate that there will be predominant variant in the months ahead. That's what they said. Warning, after two doses, reminding you, get your second dose, because after two doses, you are protected from the Delta variant.
Right.
and studies are underway now to examine the Johnson & Johnson. We just don't have much data on that vaccine.
Yeah.
So basically what they're saying is, warning, Will Robinson, there is another variant out there that kicks the other viruses' asses. Get vaccinated. We go to Joe in Firestone.
I'm with Cole on this one. Bullshit. It's bullshit.
Really?
It's more of a scare tactic. It is bullshit. Here's my news for all of you. Yeah. You know how many people have already died from the vaccine?
Yeah.
Bullshit. 24,000 people.
Bullshit.
You don't hear that?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. 24,000. Mm-hmm. The CDC also has a site up. It's called the VARS site, V-A-R-S. It's pronounced VARS. And it's for people who want to call in and complain about whatever particular maladies they have. Do you know it was either, what was it? I forget the exact number. It was either 3.5 million or 350,000. I'm forgetting how many zeros. Called in to talk about the side effects of the fucking vaccine.
Exactly.
Excuse me. I am not taking that vaccine until they fucking have a gun to my head.
Exactly. Hey, listen, wait, check this out, bro. Okay, within a year, they want to save the world. They shut it down as they're putting up 5G towers. So they want to save the world. They come up with the vaccine. Everybody took it. Now everything's safe. Cubs at Wrigley Field, packed. Anaheim Stadium, where the Angels play, as of, I think yesterday, packed. Texas Stadium, packed. But yet, there's a new variant. There's a new outbreak. We have the Delta strain. Like, it's Jesus Christ, man. Don't people realize that someone's getting paid for each fucking vaccine that goes? But Joe Biden's getting a fucking nickel for every fucking vaccine that goes into an American
zone. I don't know if he has any stake in that.
He's getting something. Okay, well, you just like you said, we're sending out vaccines that are expired. We fucking killed our own Tuskegee Airmen.
Wait a minute.
Okay,
you got to understand, you're on the radio. 9/11
was an inside job.
Okay.
9/11 was an inside job, so don't.
I have to be careful.
Disclaimer.
You can't make statements like that. Like, it's absolute. People hold me to what I say. Believe it or not, they do.
I'm going to make a disclaimer. In my unhumble opinion.
No, you just said I said.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I did, Joe.
You said that people are getting contaminated.
I didn't hear him say that, Brian. I didn't hear him say you said it.
I did not say you.
I heard that.
Yeah, roll the tape.
But you said that people are getting contaminated doses in their arm. That's what I heard.
You just mentioned that some of that shit expired and that we speculate that there are. Okay, I made a mistake.
I don't
know.
Anyway,
listen,
I'm just saying, I don't know.
Anything, wait,
if
I just want to say a disclaimer for your show to protect you and other guests.
But I'm assuming, let me just make my disclaimer, and then I'll let you go. You're talking over me.
No,
I can't let you just do anything.
Go ahead.
Do you understand that I have to make a disclaimer? Do you understand
ahead,
that at
it.
All? Do you
understand
the words that come out of my mouth?
I do.
I have to say this. In my opinion, I do not know this for sure, but if you use your common sense, the odds are, I'm sure there's some people got contaminated Johnson & Johnson vaccine because
of...
That's in my opinion.
Right.
I don't know for a fact. But go ahead, Cole.
Right.
Now you can screw me.
Okay. No. Now I'll say the same thing to protect you, and to show that I'm a lunatic. In my very unhumble, loudmouth opinion,
every single thing
that Miles Del Rey, Cole Blackwell, born Paul Abraham Chudnovsky, changed to Sudnow in 1907 at Ellis Island by the fucking immigration fucks to make my name more Americanized. Everything I say on this show is coming out of my mouth, does not reflect the Brian the Hammer Jackson show or beliefs or any of his guests here,
I think they know
now
that.
Or in the future
okay.
ever. So I'll say that before every show starts.
Thank
and I'll
you.
Say it when
Thank
the show
you.
Ends.
It's your opinion. It's
and
your
then,
opinion. But when you say
hey,
that
then,
I said it, I have a problem. You're
I,
speaking your
I
opinion
don't
now.
Think
you
I
don't
said
have
that,
to have a disclaimer.
If I did,
you don't have to disclaimer to
it's
speak your truth.
Stone.
I'm just saying that when you say that
right.
I did, I have to clarify that.
I didn't
no
think
big
I
deal.
Said
I'm not
that.
Getting sued. I'm not getting sued.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right. You made,
but there are
you
some people. There are some people who listen to me and say that I tell the truth. But go ahead.
Oh yeah, they'll twist it around and be like, oh yeah, oh well, this country's handing out contaminated doses according to Brian the Hammer
right.
Jackson because
right.
I said something
it's easy
stupid.
To do that. Brian
right?
said
okay,
that.
So I,
yeah.
I didn't think I said that, but if I did, I apologize.
Okay.
I retract it.
You don't
and
have
I'm
to apologize. I just want to just clarify
right,
that I did not. Anyway, move on. Move on. You're right. Go ahead. But you're right. You got a good theory going on. And when you said bullshit, Joe agreed with you. I mean, is this more scare tactics to get people vaccinated? All of a sudden, we got a Delta,
yes,
Delta variant.
It's called,
absolutely.
It's called population control.
Mm.
That's right.
That's right.
Really?
Exactly.
Brian, the two you took two vaccines, correct? 6 weeks
I
apart.
I took my two.
Is
yes, I did. Yes, I
okay,
did.
Okay. Well, guess what? It's not. It's going to take between 5 and 10 years, and it's not going to be two shots. It's going to be the booster. Guess what? You think you're done after the booster? You're going to have to take another two and then another couple
That's
years.
That's right.
You're going to have to take 10
That's
fucking
what
shots
these
in
variants
the next 10
are
years.
For.
And then when you and then when the numbers are up, let's just say in this country the number gets up, because it's already over 120 million. Let's just say it gets up to 250 million in this country, right? There's still another 120 or something that haven't done it, that are kids or old people or health workers, whoever the fuck doesn't want to take it. And let's say 250 people get it. Okay, now in 10 years, we'll flash forward to 2031, okay, because, and let's just say out of that 250, let's pick a nice
mm-hmm.
neat number. Let's just say
mm-hmm.
that, let's say that 25% of 250 is what? 62.5 million people die. They will
mm-hmm.
not, uh-oh, there's a fire coming. They will not, people will not say, oh, it killed 25% of the population. They'll say it saved 75% of the population. That's how people
Well, you're
think.
Right. Well, that's
definitely
a spin
right.
on it. Well, that's
and
a spin on
say,
it.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
say that the population will be, by 2030, will be 95% of the population will be dead. And if they circulate this vaccine, those numbers are about right. And now the NFL
okay.
football players that don't want to take vaccines, I just read an article
well,
yesterday.
Well, we can go,
that
we can go with there's some nurses right now
no, no,
or
being
complain.
Treated.
I have to rush
they're
your
not,
call because it's 5 minutes.
Right,
I have to. I, we get to just what you're saying. But there's some first responders, nurses and doctors, who are getting fired and let go because they refuse to take the vaccine. There's a big story
well,
2 or 3 days
right
ago.
They're
so
switching career.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is you got actual frontline people who won't take the vaccine.
What's up, bro?
And there you go. I want to thank Joe.
That's
well,
it?
Wait a minute. Yes. I want to thank Joe for coming
so
in to you today. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
can you believe it? 3 hours goes. Three hours goes pretty fast. I want to
yeah.
thank Cole for coming into
mm-hmm.
the studio today and Mr. Stone, Bob Stone. We're doing that lovely
Gold
story.
Goldstein and Goldstone.
It's Firestone
yeah,
with the D.
Firestone.
Firestone.
Firestone. Firestone.
Yeah. I want to thank Firestone for this.
Well,
and you guys for listening.
I did a good job today on that story, even though you ripped his boy.
You didn't,
my boy
I didn't rip you apart. I let you do the story. I didn't rip you apart. I thought you did a good story. Earlier this week, I want to thank our guest, Michelle Riddle. Thank you for coming on, and I want to thank also Richard Rossi for coming on, and Miss Holland, is it Holland? I hope I didn't mispronounce her name. Rebecca Holland, I want to thank her for coming on earlier this week. We have more guests coming on next week. I am going on vacation. It's 4 minutes left. I have another story, but you know what? It's Friday. I'm getting the hell out of here. We'll see you when I see you. Don't forget, if you want to listen to the show when we're coming back on, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. Hit the follow button, and you'll be notified when we're on the air again. And that's it. I have a message. I want to thank Aisha for that lovely letter, which she did today. And this song, we go through people like we go through people over the years. But there's people who I consider friends and who stick with us, Joe, Miles, Cole. These are the people, Stanley. These are the people who stood by the show and are the real people of the show. The rest are, they want to come in and talk. But we're off to bigger and better things, and I like to play my theme song as I do it because I do really mean this theme song. And we'll see you guys next time. And I'm playing my theme song, and thank you, Mr. Firestone and Joe. Here we go. Good night, everybody. See you next week. Be safe this weekend.
Take care, guys.
Past people who are not on the show no more, goodbye. That's right. No co-host, no nothing. Let's do it. Revise the show. I'm on my own, but this is what I like. Have a good weekend, everybody. Hope to see you next week, and you will. But you got to hit that button to follow me when we're on. Good night, everybody.